93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is May 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Temple student was found dead inside his off-campus apartment, according to the university's president. Police say he had been shot multiple times. In a note to the community Sunday, Temple University president identified the victim as 21-year-old Daniel Dugnum, a third-year business student from Northampton County. The student was found dead just before 10 o'clock Saturday in his off-campus apartment in the 1700 block of Diamond Street. Police say that he was shot at least three times, and they don't believe that it was a random act. Temple University will enhance patrols in the area surrounding the campus as the investigation continues. No weapon was recovered and no arrests have been made. Obviously, if you have any information, they're asking that you contact police immediately. More than 100 cats have been removed from a Montgomery County garage. Hatboro police received a call on Friday about a strange odor coming from a building on the unit block of Byberry Road. They spoke to a man who said he lived in the loft space of the garage and he kept the cats. Officers returned Saturday with a search warrant. On Sunday, they removed 114 cats with the help of the Montgomery County SPCA. They returned to the scene and used a heat sensor to search for more. I've never heard of that.
Wow, it's like Predator.
The conditions the individual and the cats were living in are absolutely deplorable. Probably the worst I've ever seen, said Hatboro Police Chief James Gardner. All of the cats are being evaluated and treated.
Can I take this opportunity, since you're reporting that story, and I got somebody who wanted a shout out for people directly involved
yes.
with that.
Oh, let's really?
Do that. Yeah, cool. This is from Dave Urbani. Who was helping out with the Hatboro Police Department and Fire Department and the Montgomery County SPCA. And it's a lengthy email that I got this morning, but it said, I would like to mention Officer Paul and Officer Wilkes of the Hatboro Police Department, who are, had the unenviable task of overseeing the detail, and Colleen, Joe, and Rhonda from the Montgomery County SPCA Humane Society. And they want a super duper shout out for Colleen, Joe, and Rhonda, as well as all the other officers and personnel involved in this. So here we go, a big shout out. And also, it says also a butt plug for the SPCA, as they can always use the monetary donations to help support their efforts in rescues and adoptions. So there you go. That's your shout out. And
those
also,
are news charts.
Colleen and Joe are avid MMR listeners, and they said, I hope that I hear this. And if you were able to mention this on your show, and maybe Pierre can zap them as well. So they're asking.
We'll pass it along.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate you getting in touch.
Yeah, busy day for them. 114 cats in this garage. That's crazy.
And it seemed like, and he said, I'm writing this on Sunday, and all our hands on deck for day two of the cat removal. At least 100 cats at the time that he wrote this said that they were all, they weren't dead, so, but they're in bad shape, but at least they didn't find a whole bunch of dead cats.
It's a lot to handle. Yep. Situations like this arise fairly often, sadly.
Pennsylvania-based chip and snack food maker Utz is recalling some of its tortilla chips because they may contain milk. Utz Quality Foods announced the voluntary recall Thursday of some of the Golden Flake, Good Health, Utz, and Weiss brand tortilla chip products.
I don't get this, Kathy, because I dip my tortilla chips in milk, and I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, the problem is for people who have an allergy.
Oh, of course, like lactose intolerance.
Yes. The items have been shipped to 32 states, including Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The company based in Hanover, Pennsylvania, says the chips may contain milk, not listed in the ingredients, which can lead to serious or life-threatening reactions to people with dairy allergies. The products being recalled are the Utz restaurant-style tortilla chips, the round white tortilla chips, the tortil chips, the organic white, yellow, and blue tortilla chips, Weiss restaurant-style and white round tortilla chips, the no-salt round, and the golden flake tortilla chips, all in varying sizes. And the expiration date on the chips range from May 26th to June 16th of this year.
Quick question, Preston. Is there a process in which milk is introduced to the making of tortilla chips?
That's a good question. I was not familiar, but maybe to add some flavoring. You know, there's powdered milk.
Yeah, maybe.
Which can add flavor. I know that we used to, at a restaurant I worked at, when we made pizza dough, we would add powdered milk to it for part of the flavor. So,
oh, is that right? I thought it was like cornmeal and, you know, right? Is that?
There's, you know, when you get
chupacabra blood.
They're right as well. No, but when you get these, you know, mass-produced things, there's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
That you would never.
Yeah. But aluminum.
The
Yeah, good right.
New with aluminum.
The Good Health and black bean tortilla chips in varying sizes with an expiration date between December 15th and 18th are also being recalled. Anyone who purchased the chips can return them for a refund or exchange. You can get more information at FDA.gov. No illnesses associated with the voluntary recall have been reported. In sports this morning. Max Scherzer struck out 15 in 6 1/3 innings, and the Nationals rallied for 2 runs in the 8th inning and then 2 more in the 9th to beat the Phillies 5-4 yesterday afternoon in Washington.
What the f***?
Scherzer and Philly starter Jake Arrieta, who have combined to win the last 3 National League Cy Young Awards, kept things close into the late innings before both bullpens pitched poorly. Phil's closer Hector Neris took a 4-3 lead into the 9th, but didn't get it out. He walked pinch hitter Pedro Severino with the bases loaded to tie it, and then Wilmer Defoe followed with a single to win the game. The Phils are back home tonight as they open up a 4-game series against the San Francisco Giants. Zach Eflin gets the start, and game time is at 7:05. The Sixers will look to avoid being swept when they play the Boston Celtics tonight in Game 4 at home. They lost Game 3 on Saturday night, falling 101-98 in overtime to go behind in the series 3-0. Tip-off in South Philly tonight is earlier than normal, and it's set for 6 o'clock. In last night's playoff games, the Golden State Warriors beat the New Orleans Pelicans, winning 118-92 and going up in that series 3-1. In the Western Conference Series, the Houston Rockets also went up 3-1 after beating the Utah Jazz in Game 4, 100-87. In the NHL playoffs, the Tampa Bay Lightning are back in the Eastern Conference Finals for the third time in 4 years after a 3-1 win over the Boston Bruins ended their second-round playoff series in 5 games. In the Western Conference, Marc-Andre Fleury made 28 saves in his 4th shutout of the playoffs, and the Vegas Golden Knights have made it to the NHL's Final Four in their inaugural season after beating the San Jose Sharks 3-0 in Game 6 of their second-round series. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yay!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome back from the weekend, dear friends. Thank you for, you guys were asking off air how I'm feeling, and I'm feeling a lot better. I don't sound a lot better, but I feel a lot better, and you're going to hear me hacking stuff up in the room. I know Kathy just went.
She loves it. Did you save all the phlegm from Friday? She forgot to give it to her.
Friday was, I mean, while we were sitting here talking, I was just salivating, and it was just, you could hear it I was spitting, and it's not going to be quite that bad, Kathy.
Well, fortunately, on Saturday, the walk a mile in her shoes event, you had to get on the microphone and do a whole dissertation.
I know. And every now and then, I'd be like talking. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is, yeah.
I started feeling a certain way on Friday.
Oh, no.
You're so lucky, because I was plotting your murder.
I know.
But I took some emergency. I laid down for a second. When I got up, the tickle in my throat was gone, and yeah.
If you would have had what the emergency wouldn't have done a damn thing, so you didn't get what
I think it was like allergy based.
Pollen,
man.
I don't even get stuff like that. And on Saturday, my eyes were watering, and it's never been my thing. But I told Preston, I went out to my car and moved my finger across.
Yeah,
it was. They were like seeds. They were like the pollen was unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's pretty nasty. So, but we got a little rain, over the weekend. So maybe that helps wash some of that off or push it down into the ground. And hopefully, we won't be dealing with it for too long. We do have some stuff planned. We have a new Word of the Week prize this week, $500 gift card to Steven Singer Jewelers. Pretty sweet deal with Mother's Day coming up, so get yourself set for that. We'll do the letter at the end of the program. Give that away at the end of the week. We have a couple of announcements today that we're going to get to. We have birthday bucks coming up and $1,000. I have to check on this. This might be our last week of birthday.
I think it is.
Is it?
Our final week of birthday bucks. Wow. So 5 times a day, don't worry, still many opportunities for you to win that cash, so get set for that. And we have a plug coming up. Nick's got the event on the way. It is the Big Climb Philly. Is that this coming weekend?
No, it's the same day as MM Barbecue.
MM Barbecue, that's it.
Yeah, it's
it.
May 19th. Yeah, so we got 2 weeks, but we're putting on the big push, sort of like you were right before Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. We need climbers. We need people to volunteer, and so we're going to meet a lady today who's going to be a part of it, and I'm excited for you guys to meet her, because she's an impressive person.
She does this all over the country. Climbs.
And world.
Yeah, climbs. You're right. She's done the Eiffel Tower and more. So climbs up these steps and does it for charity. Yep. And it's cool. So we'll meet her a little bit later on this morning. Get the story from that. Get your details and how you can get signed up for that. So these things and more are coming up through the course of the day. We have Free Music Monday and some other stuff to give away. What, Casey?
I just want... This is cool right here. Oh, we got this coming up.
Wow. When is this? Hold on a second. Is it this Thursday?
What's the date?
Thursday the 10th.
Yeah, that's this Thursday.
Then I can give away some right now.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2.
Oh!
Now, here's the deal. We have... The screening is going to be a little bit on the early side on a weekday, so keep that in mind. But if you're a Deadpool fan, you're going to be on board. So
quit.
Thursday at 4:30 p.m. at the Ritz East, Deadpool 2, 5 callers. Now, 215-263-WMMR. You'll get to see it before anybody
else. It's this Thursday?
How about that? Yeah, it's the 10th. That's what it says here. It says,
sweet mother of God.
Thursday, 5:10 at 4:30 p.m. at the Ritz East. Huh. And it hits theaters on Friday, May 18th. So we've got this way out in front.
Yes.
I can't believe we got a screening that early. It's over a week before the movie opens.
And then they even moved it earlier by a couple hours.
So 215-263-WMMR, you'll need to be there by 4 p.m. Keep that in mind. Give us a call now. So we will be giving those away this week and more. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. I'll have a stupid question. Entertainment report. You know that stuff. So stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Bing, bing, bong, bong.
All right, so we're going to give away for the stupid question this morning a pair of tickets to Brewfest, PA's premier craft beer festival. It's going to be at Mount Hope on May 12th. And the question we have for you this morning is, which U.S. aircraft carrier is the first nuclear-powered carrier and was used in the movies Top Gun and Hunt for Red October?
Mm.
215-263-WMMR, the number once again. Which U.S. aircraft carrier is the first nuclear-powered carrier and was used in the movies Top Gun and Hunt for Red October? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. Birthdays today on May 7th. I only have three of them, so this is going to be a quick
one. Only three?
Yeah, but Tracy Lords has her birthday.
Ooh.
Former porn star and did actually break out and do some mainstream acting. She was in the movie Crybaby. She did some Melrose Place stuff. She was in Tommyknockers.
Tommyknockers, the Stephen King miniseries on ABC. She's actually a pretty good actress in both adult films and regular mainstream films. She's in the original Blade.
I am not sure what she has been up to as of the last few years, though.
She wrote, and we actually had her on the show. Do you remember, Preston?
I do remember, yeah.
And, you know, the mindset was, and I think you were the first person to hit me to this, is that she made one last film when she became legal.
Yeah.
And she owned all the rights to that film, and it made her like a multimillionaire because she revealed that she'd been shooting a lot of these films while underage.
Yep, and she lied about her age. And, that became, child porn.
Child porn at that point, yes.
Technically, yes. Yeah. Even though she was, 17, 18 years old.
And it was of her own design.
Yeah, but she does look back regretfully upon those days. And
so she didn't do more porn, right?
No, not at all.
No,
then she did it in the first place. She felt she was taken advantage of. So she's celebrating her 50th birthday today.
She was on Celebrity Wife Swap with Jack A. Harry.
Oh, that's my God. Right.
Yeah. In May of 2015.
So Tracy is 50 years old today. Let's see. Guitarist from Motorhead, Phil Campbell.
Phil Campbell.
Is turning 57 years old.
That's all Kathy ever talks about is Motorhead, Phil Campbell Motorhead.
All the time. So he's 57. And then you have Amy Heckerling, who's a filmmaker. She did Clueless and Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
She's great. Mm-hmm. And if you ever hear her talk about the movie Clueless and about Alicia Silverstone in that, she was young and a little clueless herself, so some of the mistakes she makes as Cher in the movie were legitimately ones made by the actress herself.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah, yeah.
And they left
them in. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Nice. So she is turning 64 years old today, Amy Heckerling. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. Which U.S. aircraft carrier is the first nuclear-powered carrier and was used in the movies Top Gun and Hunt for Red October? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to Gary. Hey, Gary, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Gary, so what's the answer we're looking for?
The USS Nimitz.
No, not according to my source.
No! No!
Gary, I'm sorry, man.
Damn.
All right, but listen to him.
He did his research, and his showed Nimitz present.
I just guessed.
Oh, you just guessed.
Okay. That's research.
I was trying to back you up, dude.
Thanks, Gary. All right, let me go next to Norbert. Hey, Norbert. Norbert.
Hey, what it is.
What it will be. So
it started to disturb you there at work.
It's all good. So what aircraft carrier are we talking about? Kitty Hawk. No, incorrect. Sorry.
Oh,
all right.
What?
And I will go next to Sam. Hi, Sam.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, buddy. All right. So which U.S. aircraft carrier was first nuclear powered carrier?
The USS Enterprise.
That one is correct. Yep. Hang on a second. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to Brewfest, PA's premier craft beer festival, Mount Hope, on May 12th with more than 50 breweries, food vendors, and live music. Brewfest details are available at PARenfair.com.
Remember, we were on a nuclear aircraft carrier, the John C. Stennis.
Yes.
And we met the guy who was in charge of the nuclear reactor aboard the ship. And he was like that guy in the pickup truck at in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles who picks up John Candy and the guy... He's like, oh, my God, you run the nuclear reactor?
I don't know if he ran it. He wasn't, like, the officer in charge, but he was a kid.
He was puffing himself up a little bit.
Yeah, but, yes, we were like, oh.
No!
Maybe we should leave now.
How far is the nuclear blast radius from Oahu?
But they are incredible.
Amazing.
Pieces of machinery, man.
Amazing.
So at the box office, let's start there. Infinity War is coming in with $112.5 million in receipts over the weekend, making it the second best second weekend ever behind Star Wars The Force Awakens. And it also crossed the $400 million mark in 9 days yesterday, making it the second fastest to that point after Force Awakens and their 8-day record. But Infinity War is the fastest title ever to bring in $1 billion worldwide. And has also broken the all-time 4DX box office record for films.
Ooh.
First 2 weekends, which is the theaters that have the motion seats and all
have
that
you,
stuff.
You've never been, have you?
Not for mainstream movies.
No.
I've been to theaters that have that, and they have a special movie, you know.
Right. The theaters that are specifically designed.
Yeah, like a roller coaster.
I don't know if that would be,
like that.
If it would be a distraction. Or it would be an enhancement.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
It's not the first. Like, I don't want to see the movie the first time that way.
Yeah.
I'll see it, like, the second or third time or something like that. But is New York City the closest 4D experience we have?
I think it is. I think we asked this question last time.
Yeah.
All right. So, elsewhere at the box office, number two was Overboard, Steve.
Two?
Yeah. And, but this, to give you an idea, so Avengers, $112 million. Overboard made $14
million. I love the original so much, which, if we're all going to be honest, is just like a mid-level movie that we all love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, why tamper with that?
Well, I don't know. It did pretty decent, I guess. So, and then you have A Quiet Place, I Feel Pretty, Rampage, Tully was number six, followed by Black Panther, still in the top 10.
Oh, my God.
Truth or Dare, Super Troopers 2, and Bad Samaritan to wrap up the top 10 in the box office. We're going to start with the royal family. Two pictures of Prince Louis have been released by his parents, Prince William and Kate Middleton. In one, little Louis is staring off into the distance in deep thought baby mode.
With his shirt off.
Wearing crisp, sparkling white knitwear.
He's actually a beautiful baby.
Yeah, the second shows Princess Charlotte coming in with a kiss and was reportedly taken on her third birthday earlier this week.
It's an adorable picture. You would assume that the royal baby photographer is a top world class. I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. She's trying to suck his brains out, but can't tell.
She's giving him a little kiss.
Die.
Big brother Prince George, who is four, was not featured in this tableau, but he was photographed holding Princess Charlotte when she was a baby.
Prince George, we want him in the tableau.
The photographs are quite similar, as many observers have pointed out. The photos were taken by, actually, the Duchess of Cambridge in their home in Kensington Palace. Well, so she took the photos.
Quite the photographic capability.
Yeah. One shows Louis when he was just 3 days old. The little prince was born on April 23rd. Went home that day. The couple also thanked the public for all their kind messages sent their way since Louis's birth.
She apparently shoots all the videos they submit to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Aww, yeah, that's nice. Details about the fairy tale wedding of the year are emerging bit by bit, with less than a month to go before Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding. Royal watchers are being fed tidbits about the feast that awaits. Here's some stuff. The dress, okay? So the Daily Mail reports that Meghan will wear a $135,000 custom gown created by British designer Ralph and Russo. When she walks down the aisle at St. George's Chapel in London's Windsor Castle to marry her prince.
Did you read about the firepower that she now has fashion-wise? If Meghan Markle is now going to wear something, its value skips up exponentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. She's now become a fashion icon in short order, in a finger snap.
I believe it.
She's like Thanos in the fashion world.
In the ceremony, unlike breathless rumors to the contrary, her father will, in fact, walk her down the aisle. Meghan's mother, in a break with royal tradition, will accompany her to the wedding.
Huh.
Meet and greet.
Are they together? Her parents? Okay.
Nope, they're divorced. So as far as meet and greets go, Meghan and her mother, Doria, will reportedly travel to St. George's Chapel by car. Her parents, who are divorced, will meet the Queen and the rest of the royal family after they fly to England for the week before the wedding.
And Mr. Bean is going to conduct the ceremony, correct?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Jason Nauf, Prince Harry's communications secretary, said at a press briefing, "The first thing I would like to share is that Prince Harry and Miss Markle are very much looking forward to welcoming..."
"The first thing I'd like to share is that Prince Harry and Harry are very much looking forward to Harry
to welcoming Miss Markle's parents to Windsor for the wedding."
This is for the wedding. This is most exciting.
He's a communications guy.
I know. Mr. Thomas Markle and Miss Doria Ragnald.
Ragland.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I just suggested you were on the rag, and that was an accident. By misplacing a word here and there, I suggested you were having your period. And I sincerely apologize. You're far too old to have your period. And that was an insult as well, for which I apologize. That was inadvertent. I should probably stop talking now. But we're so to have you here visiting for Ragnarok.
So in England, you use the term on the rag?
On the rag, exactly.
Okay, it was not...
It actually has to do with a fox hunt. It's totally, totally different.
Oh, it's going to be a long morning. Well, with my coughing. So anyhow... Excuse me. Mr. Thomas
Markle and muffins.
Ms. Doria Ragland will be arriving in the UK in the week of the wedding.
It's actually on the day of the barbecue, correct?
It is.
Okay. That's when the wedding happens, yes. Allowing time for Prince Harry's family, including the Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince of Wales, the Duchess of Cornwall, and the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, to spend time with them before the big day. Prince William...
Gimli showing up?
Gimli. Prince William will serve as best man, and his and Kate Middleton's children, Prince George and Princess Charlotte, will be page boy and flower girl.
Page boy.
Piss boy. And who's, if this man shall fall carrying the bucket of piss, who will pick it up?
Prince George will be the piss boy.
The
latest royal edition, newborn Prince Louis, will not attend. So someone will be picking him. So they're not taking the baby to the wedding, which is a courteous thing to do.
Where he has promised, though, to settle all issues with the royal family.
It's the day of your daughter's wedding that happens. All right, anyway.
Lord Green. Lord Mo Green.
So with the honeymoon after their May 19th wedding, they will honeymoon in Namibia, according to reports, but not right away. The spokesperson said that the couple will be going on honeymoon, but not straight away.
Not straight away. There will be affairs to tend to.
Yes, they will have their first engagement as a married couple in the week after the wedding.
I kind of am a fan of, though it's the only thing I've ever done, so I wouldn't know the other, but we took a little bit of a pause after the wedding and then went on our honeymoon
it
later.
It seems to be the norm now, and even someone like the, you know, the royal couple see that the merit as well.
You
but,
let it
but
breathe.
It used to be, it would be like leave the reception,
waste away.
Yeah, go to the airport.
We're going.
Yeah, and but they're not doing it that way. They're going to take a little breaky poo. All right, so over the weekend on SNL, Ben Stiller, Martin Short, Jimmy Fallon, Scarlett Johansson, Alec Baldwin, and Stormy Daniels herself all appeared in a cold open as the sketch show began its final lap of its 43rd season. Was this the final weekend?
I can't imagine. Yeah.
Tina Fey is hosting that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right. But it was a star-studded open. It tackled much of the news in the past week and launched with a black screen featuring lettering reminiscent of Law & Order's intro. Stiller appeared as Donald Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen. Baldwin played Trump. Johansson played Ivanka Trump. And Fallon played her husband, Jared Kushner.
Does it always have to be political to open it? I mean, that's usually what it always is, right?
They usually go political, but there have been times they've done other stuff. They usually try to key on the news of the week.
Okay.
So, did you notice that Baldwin's Trump is now, his face is so contorted now when he does it?
I know.
I like when he does an open mouth.
But do they do a cold open every?
They do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a standard.
I don't watch SNL. I watch clips of it.
So if you go all the way back to the beginning with, you know, with Chevy Chase playing Gerald Ford and the whole thing. And, you know, it was always the fault. And then, you know, Live from New York.
Yep.
Which is usually an awkward way of fitting it in there.
And Stormy did not quite get the phrase right.
What did she say?
She said live from New York, it's Saturday Live.
Did she really?
Yeah, but she did it at the same time as Baldwin, so it was sort of covered. But if you watch
she
it
lets
closely,
her butt do her talking.
Yeah.
Roman Polanski fled the U.S. in 1978 over the rape of a minor. Last week, he and fellow disgraced Academy member Bill Cosby were kicked out of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. We covered that last week. But Polanski's lawyer says that the Academy violated its standards of conduct in removing him. a guy named Harlan Braun told Deadline that Roman was just mailed the letter, which on its face violates Rule 5B of their own rules.
Just because our client had sex with underage girls are going all crazy.
He said, we plan to ask the Academy to follow its own rules, which is to give Roman 10 days notice to present his side.
A lot of people are asking whether or not this ever would have happened had not Cosby gone down in flames.
Right. And he said, we had ready over 300 pages of documents, two documentaries, and Samantha Geimer, who would have met them, and she's the victim herself speaking on his behalf as she has in the past.
Now, she's just, we've learned, just one of a couple of victims. Other ones have not come out in his support.
Right. Steve, you watch Arrow?
I do.
Colton Haynes?
Yes.
He's Arrow, right?
No, he is not. He was another Arrow-esque character, a sidekick. Okay. He left the show for a while, and now I hear he's returning.
Well, he and Jeff Leatham have split after 6 months of marriage, TMZ reports. So they got married. The 29-year-old Haynes and 46-year-old celebrity floral designer.
Yeah, so I was talking to my wife about this, Preston. They had this outlandishly over-the-top proposal where they had it was on the beach. There was a huge video screen of Cher.
We talked about it, right?
Didn't we? Fireworks, the whole thing. I mean, like crazy celebrities, one right after another. 6 months later, they're broken up.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was a different one in a Chipotle in New York City.
Oh, maybe that's what
who
I'm
was that?
Of.
It was
a douchebag and a famous person.
It was like it was a designer, one of the designers. Was it Marc Jacobs?
Or wait, then I'm thinking of a different one.
No.
You're thinking of the
right one. It was a designer and his squeeze got, and they had everyone do sort of a synchronized dance in a Chipotle.
That was two guys though. I was thinking of a male female couple, and I was okay. Totally off.
You're thinking
off
of Prince William.
I was thinking of actually it was a civil marriage that they had. It wasn't a big deal, and I'm just completely
you're not
off on this.
You're a little off.
All right. So anyhow, So they had this big over the top proposal.
I think it was in Cabo.
6 months, and they are they're done now. And Kris Jenner had officiated their wedding too.
Kris Jenner officiated the whole dance, so there was a lot of stuff. This guy is impossibly good looking. This Colton Haynes,
yeah,
you know.
All right, now speaking of the Jenner crew, Caitlin will address the British government as part of an annual diversity lecture.
I just have to say, I feel very much at home here with so many dudes wearing wigs.
The transgender activist follows in the footsteps of the Wire star Idris Elba and the Night of star Riz Ahmed, who previously spoke.
Riz, it's good to see you, Riz.
Who loved you in Greece, Riz, who previously spoke in the series. The lecture will take place on May 9th at the Churchill Room at the House of Commons.
Has the Caitlin thing, is that over?
What do you mean?
I mean, just in the big PR publicity, front of the tabloid thing. I mean, she still pops up.
Listen, the story has cooled a little bit, but she still has celebrity status. And
she's
still
a member of parliament now, we
And is
just
now
learned.
A member of parliament. Yeah. So, but yeah, she's not as high profile as once was. If you remember, you know, three years ago, however long ago.
Dominated.
The whole thing came together. Yeah, it was all the news.
Now I'm just a footnote.
Let's stay with that family for a moment. Following reports that Tristan Thompson cheated on Chloe with multiple women when she was pregnant with their baby True. The pair are fully back together, sources tell us.
Oh, yeah. That's bullcrap.
These are sources, yeah. But there's evidence, man. The insider tells us that Chloe feels like the whole world is against Tristan. And no one in her world is supporting Tristan, and she's still in love with him.
Wake the F up.
The source says
I know she's still shaking off hibernation, but come on.
She's out of it a little bit. Because, I mean, dude, she's been asleep for 4 months.
Tristan, you're incredibly faithful, right?
Those around.
Yeah, baby.
The source said those around Chloe are trying to be as supportive to her as they can. It's hard because if everyone distances themselves from Tristan, they'll risk losing Chloe, the insider explained. Luckily,
if only there was some evidence to show him cheating.
Luckily, there's this buffer time. She always planned to stay in Cleveland for the first 3 months, and now with Tristan in the playoffs for possibly another month, no decision needs to be made right now. Now, the pair were photographed by TMZ out together laughing with friends in Cleveland on Friday.
So what's going to happen is that she's going to feel that she has a tight leash on him now because he's making it's a mea culpa for what he has done. And then a little bit of time will lapse and he'll be right back to what he was doing before.
Probably. She also sat courtside Saturday night to show support for Tristan as the Cavaliers beat the Raptors 105-103.
It was an amazing end to the game.
So she was there.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but
no, dude,
like 7 seconds left. LeBron James goes, the length of the court as the clock is ending. He just kind of floats one up, kisses it off the glass at an impossible angle, and it goes in. It was a great end to the game.
I heard
I'm
that to
sorry
stop
that she was there.
Chloe from getting up and bending the hoop down over so they can make the baskets easier.
I was just helping.
So it hasn't been an easy road. Fans seem to be exclusively Team Chloe. And Tristan,
they are.
Tristan was booed several times when hitting the court to play games with the Cavaliers prior to Chloe's appearance there over the weekend.
It must be a big distraction for the other players who are just trying to win the freaking game.
Chloe also turned off comments on all Instagram pics of herself and Tristan, likely because there were so many negative opinions.
I don't want to hear it.
Whom fans have labeled as a serial cheater.
I'm a young mother. I don't need to hear this.
When there are literally thousands of comments, what does it even matter at that point?
No, it just becomes noise.
Yep. America has voted after another American Idol live coast-to-coast broadcast, and they've moved along some of the people. So that show continues to go on. It's actually doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Has it turned around? Because it was doing poorly for a while.
In other news, the long-running singing competition, which was rebooted in 2018 on ABC, will return for another season. The renewal includes deals with current judges Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie, and host Ryan Seacrest. The show's current season saw its highest viewership since the premiere episode during its first live episode earlier in the week.
It was actually, you know what, though? When it was getting its ass kicked, it was during March Madness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I'm watching this because my daughter's watching it, so it's kind of on in the background as I play Words of Friends or whatever.
It's not good, is it?
It's not bad. I just hate how It, you know, they say America votes. I don't get it because they got, here's the country star, here's the rocker. This guy Cade, he's such a joke. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But he keeps making it through. You know, here's the R&B person. Here's, you know, the I can't stand it. Like, I thought the best person in the whole thing got voted out 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. But there's a Philadelphia guy, and I feel bad. The girl from Langhorne messed up last night. She forgot the words.
Oh, she did.
I don't know if she made it her way through, but I really like that girl. She,
I don't know. Yeah. It just... I don't know. I just can't get behind a lot of what they're doing and a lot of what they're performing, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of it seems really cheesy to me.
Well, all the pomp and circumstance around the performance, I couldn't care less
about
it.
Well, they've ratcheted that back a lot because the judging area, they're sitting around like casually on furniture, regular like couches and seats and stuff like that. Have you seen it, Preston?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, the judges, they have no idea what they're saying, and...
Then they're good judges.
No, I mean, like, they really don't know what they're saying. And, like, you know, every single time somebody performs, Katy Perry's like, oh, my God, you're going to sell out arenas.
You're a star.
Yeah.
You were born for this.
I see you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I mean.
Oh, my God, you're imbued with an ungodly talent that surpasses all of humanity.
But. The performances are good, except for that Cade guy. He is such a clown.
I don't know who they are, so I can't.
Cade,
respond.
He's got long hair and he's a rocker, so he's like, and his voice is so, it's got the rasp to his voice. So he did
We need to hear him now, Marcia. Oh, can you find this guy, Cade?
Get this guy.
He did Jewel last night. Get the Jewel.
He's a rocker and he sang Jewel.
Will save your soul.
Yeah, Steve, they do that. They mix
up. Oh, they make them sing different.
Yeah, and they do them in a different style. Like, I heard a clip of one of the R&B singers doing My Heart Will Go On, I think it was, Celine Dion.
Well, that's Mike Woodward.
And made it a, you know, more soulful.
All right.
So they try to take these songs that are in one format and then change them and give them a different feel.
To put them to the test?
And so, just to change it up a bit, I guess, as well. So what?
That guy we're rooting for because he's from Philadelphia.
All right. We'll root for you, dude.
Okay. Was he any good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the rocker in the middle of on top?
That's Cade.
That's pathetic.
Yeah. I got my rocker clothes on.
Yeah. Got my necklaces and some, yeah. Who will save your soul?
Dude, I piss rock.
Yeah. Well, I got to hear that.
I want to hear it now.
Marissa's working on getting some audio over. By the way, the show announced last night that the top 7 finalists from the current season of Idol, along with special guest season 8 winner Chris Allen, are going to be hitting the road later this year.
Wow.
Oh, they got Chris Allen.
And what's that?
They got Chris Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he won a couple of years ago.
He won last year. And they're going to be at the Tower Theater on August 14th.
Oh, man, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Who are they with?
Can't go see Cade live?
No, I'll be busy that day.
Oh.
You got that thing.
You're certain of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thing.
Oh, you got that thing with the guy?
The thing.
Yeah, I can't make it. Damn it. And it's right around the corner from my house. Damn.
It basically is your house.
Yes.
You got that thing, that backyard thing.
All right. Well, we'll come back to the music when that comes
over. Oh, it's coming over. Marissa's pointing.
Okay. All right.
Or at least she's doing like
she's doing
disco or something like that.
She was doing a very John Travolta type of pointing motion. All right. This is Cade.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Behind golden walls says, come here, girls. Ain't nothing for free. Another doctor's bill, another QT thrill. You know you love him if you put him in your will, but said, who will save your soul?
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
What's a very low, does he get higher? Does he have
does.
Higher register?
Yeah,
because it's hard
coming.
To sing and sound.
Said, who will save your soul? Doubt him, lies your tone, boy. It's summer walk and summer talk.
His name is Cade?
Yeah.
Hey, pretty ladies, the name is Cade. I'm a rocker.
I bet you his name's not even Cade. Yeah. I bet you it's Cady. And then he's like, no, it's Cade.
Baby, gotta warn you, the first 6 rows back, you're gonna get showered in estrogen.
Do you generally not like raspy voices?
I don't like he is a joke.
Wow.
That's why you don't like him, is because he's a joke.
No, I just, you know, like, I'm rock. You know, like, I feel like it, he's... And
he's trying too hard.
He's trying too hard.
And he's, and it's...
Wait a minute. Okay, so he's a poser.
He's a poser.
That's the word I'm looking for.
He's exactly the word. Yeah. He's not legit, right?
It's like if I were to go buy some Airwalks, you know, that would... That, yeah, I'm a skater. I'm wearing, you know, I don't even buy Vans. I buy Airwalks.
You know? Wow. Nothing has made it more clear than that analogy right there for me.
I think one of the judges said it last night. It's like if you had purchased Airwalks.
Yeah. When you really need to get Vans.
Yeah.
Katy Perry brought that point up.
Here's more of them.
Okay for today. Okay for today. Till who will save your soul when it comes to the flowers now. Till who
okay.
I wasn't exactly. Name's yeah, Kate. I wasn't born. There was a flash of lightning, and standing in a Celtic circle, there I was.
Oh, that's his origin story.
Yeah, it's his origin story.
I did not know
in
that.
In the hills of Ireland, there was a flash of lightning, and in a Celtic circle, there I was, standing tall, and the legend of Cade began.
The legend of Cade. Oh, my God, we have some ominous music like that, Casey, because the legend of Cade. It does sound like a superhero name.
Yeah. It does.
Maybe a Cade in the superhero realm.
Born of lightning, nurtured on the teat of eternity. The name is Cade. Cade, double L, both L's are silent. A-D-E.
The L's, there's L's in
there? K-double-L-A-D-E, both L's are silent. K.
Wow, two silent letters.
Two silent L's.
Wow. I
it makes it more pompous.
Yeah. That existed.
And then it's not Cade.
All right, well, now we're just beating up on this guy.
Well, you know, Katy Perry fawns all over him every single week as well. And that, like, that pisses me off.
All right. Well, there's other things in entertainment we had to get on to. Besides Cade,
there's not much more. That's why I didn't mind spending so much time on Cade. Normally, I would have moved it along, but I don't have a whole lot today. This is kind of interesting. John Lithgow is going to play the sweet, lonely neighbor Judd Crandall in a new film adaptation of Stephen King's Pet Sematary. You know, since the success of It, they're starting to go back and re-examine some of these great King stories.
Did you ever read Pet Sematary?
I didn't read it. No, I saw the movie.
My wife contends, I believe, and she was a Stephen King fan, that it's absolutely one of the most terrifying. The movie version has flashes of goodness, but overall, I don't like it. I'm curious to see how it compares to the source material, because I have to imagine the book is better.
Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah, I did like parts of the movie, but it's never one that I've gone back. I need to see that again. You know,
there's so many inconsistencies in it, especially this. Just the main premise alone, that this doctor and his family move out to get away from the city life, and they move off a main thoroughfare. You know, where trucks are tearing by all day and night.
But sometimes you just got to look past those
things. I know.
But the one thing in the original movie that I thought was terrifying was the backstory of the sister who had spinal meningitis.
And in the movie, that is a home run.
That was scary.
So the angle on her in the bed where she's like going...
Yeah. So anyhow, the film, which hails from Paramount Pictures, will be shot this summer with the aim of releasing it on April 19th.
I think I can fix your sister. My name is Cade.
He shows
spawn up. Spawn of lightning. I can cure spinal meningitis. And that cat I can fix, too.
So Jason Clarke has been cast as Lewis Creed, the father who becomes friendly with Judd, and he's the main character.
I think Lithgow is actually a good, it was Fred Gwynn who was the original character that in the movie, and he did a good job, but, you know, sometimes dad is better.
Mm-hmm.
Pepperidge Farm also makes a humdinger of a cake.
And then the premiere episode of A&E's A&E Investigates Cults and Extreme Belief will take a look at Nexium.
Oh.
Yeah.
They did a. Did anybody see the I think it was a 2020 Nexium?
No, but I've been watching that Wild Wild West documentary on Netflix.
Wild Wild Country.
Sorry.
Wild Wild West was.
It's about the 80s band.
No. Wild Wild West was about was with
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not watching that.
No, Wild Wild.
It's what's for dinner.
Wild Wild Country. Listen, I'm only like two episodes in. Steve's watched more, and yeah. It's wild because so far, like, I'm on the side of the cult.
Okay.
Because they've done everything.
I can see that.
By the letter of the law, and they've done nothing illegal
yet. Until the poisoning starts, right?
Yeah. So
how far are you in? How far are you in, Nick?
I'm one and a half episodes.
Okay, because it'll start to go.
Yeah, waiting for it.
So getting back to Cade.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought we were in Nexium.
Hang on a second here. So anyhow, I did see that 2020 piece. I didn't get any more out of it than I had already known or had read about.
Was it this past weekend or no?
It was a couple weeks ago, right?
I'm not sure. Okay. All I know is that I'd meant to see it and I missed it. But they have her, the girl from Smallville.
Allison Mack.
She's going to turn evidence against him is the word.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, A&E is getting on board of this. Elizabeth Vargas will host this. Cults and Extreme Belief kicks off with a two-night premiere on Monday, May 28th and Tuesday, May 29th on A&E. So they're going to delve a little bit deeper into that. All right, we're ready for clips now. Or did you want to do anything about Cade?
Well, two weeks ago, they had to pick songs from Disney films.
Oh, that was the big Disney thing they were promoting. Okay.
And there were some really, really great performances. And then Cade chose to do Kiss the Girl from the Ariel.
Little
Mermaid?
Little Mermaid. Yeah. It's amazing.
Is this it?
Yeah, here you go.
Okay. Don't say good, not a single word. By the way, he's got the Eddie Vedder vibrato.
Yeah.
Kiss the girl. Sha-la-la-la.
Looks like the boy's too shy. He's gonna kiss the girl. Kiss the girl. Sha-la-la-la-la. Ain't that sad? It's such a shame. Too bad. Ain't gonna kiss the girl.
Excuse me, can you pause it for a second? What is that thing hanging off my guitar?
Hang on, I have to see a... We're watching
Casey,
video.
Casey, you know my legend.
We're watching video of him.
There's something hanging off the edge of my guitar. See that?
Oh.
Is that a possum?
No, that's that's the old roach clip with the feathers that people used to have way back in the 80s.
He's trying so hard.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I guess that's a little signature thing.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an alligator clip.
I smoke pot.
But
people would use it
as a roach clip. Absolutely.
Like a rocker?
I smoke pot like a rocker. Like in the Highlands. Or Ireland. We have a Scottish, Irish, I don't know. They all seem very similar to me.
No, I used to have a bunch of those things.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing. A lot of rockers, a lot of guitarists would have the dangling roach clip with it was a big feather display.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Guess who smokes pot?
But he does play guitar, right?
Yeah, self-taught.
Little guitar solo here.
Yep. Oh, you better do it
soon. Time will be better. I'm surprised you didn't do whistle while you work.
She don't whistle while you work like a working man. Kiss the girl. We're all a bunch of dwarfs. And we work in the mines, but we whistle while we work.
All right, now we've done enough.
Right, it's a small world.
Recently, the politically driven drama comedy Superior Donuts aired an episode about immigration. In this clip, Diane Guerrero, whose parents and older brother were deported back to Colombia when she was 14, relates herself to the storyline. Here is the clip.
It's a fresher kind of take on issues. And I basically talk about how the immigration system is broken and it's in need of updating and we need immigration reform. And I talk about my very personal story of how my family was separated through deportation.
Superior Donuts airs tonight, CBS, 9 p.m. Next clip. Elementary follows the crime detective Sherlock Holmes and his counterpart Dr. Watson in the 21st century. And in this clip, Lucy Liu talks about Sherlock's developing problems in the series.
Well, we find out that Sherlock basically is suffering from concussions. And he has to also rely on Watson as a friend and also be open to being vulnerable. Because it's very scary when you can't be who you are at your best. And that's all he knows how to do.
I want to see you naked.
New episode of Elementary premieres tonight, 10 o'clock on CBS.
I thought that show was canceled. Yeah, but it's actually fairly engaging. If you ever see, she's basically playing Watson.
On tonight at 10. All right, there you go. It's your entertainment report this morning. We got to take a break, dear friend. Hang with us on this Monday morning because your opportunity to win $1,000 is rapidly approaching roughly 45 minutes from now. So get yourself set for MMR's birthday bucks. That more coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Vagina. I'm looking out the window. It looks like they're going to be cleaning our windows here. I see a rope hanging, so they're doing the window cleaners.
Yeah, they were there Friday on the other side. I saw them.
They're actually here, too, and I walked out between the cones, so they let, put cones down to let you know they're doing stuff above.
Okay.
And I hear water splat down behind me, and so I'm like, whoops. I guess that's what that's about.
Bizarrely, I've always wanted to do that.
I'm a little afraid of it.
I think that's what would happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it seems like it'd be real. Look at that, man. It'd be cool. And right? I'd be terrified if I was hanging out up on the side of the building.
The giant rigs that they have in the skyscrapers downtown, the ones that come off the side and come down, they're cool looking, but same thing. Like the wind up there alone would freak me out.
Well, the Cirrus Center has that arm that comes out of the roof of it.
Because it's on an angle, and then loads it off the side.
That would be pretty sweet.
You know what, though? You remember the footage of the one that got screwed up and was hanging from the side?
Every now and then you'll see that happen, and then I go, maybe not a good idea.
Yeah. Maybe just lower the building.
I wanted to go to a story real quick that we talked about last week, and I got emailed, I don't know, maybe more than any story I've had in a long time that people wanted to make sure that we touched on was the guy... the superintendent of the
the pooper,
the guy who was crapping on the other high school's
field. was he using the track, I guess, was that the deal? And then he would take a dump on the field,
and then he would poop on the field, and it was a rival school, right?
And it was every morning.
Yeah, like every day. Like, dude,
what,
you're gonna get caught?
Come on,
you're gonna get caught if you're doing that every day.
Well, and the other school set up because they couldn't figure out who it was. So the school and the police set up surveillance, and they caught this superintendent, he's a 42-year-old guy, crapping outside like an animal.
Thomas Tramaglini is his name. What, Casey?
Yeah, I said you're right.
Yeah. But I was wondering about this. Okay, so this guy does this.
Did he hunch over like a dog?
No, I'm not wondering about that, which would be hilarious if he did.
He's shaking a little.
His back leg shake.
And his back bent in that shape. And then you have to look up with a confused look on your face, off to the side.
Don't look at me. Yeah. Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
But, okay, so does this guy ever come back from this? Because he's eventually going to have to find another job.
Not in a school district. What you mean?
In general, he's going to have to sit down with an employer, a potential employer.
And it will come
and
up.
And he's going to be looking at his resume saying, I see here that you're arrested for crapping daily on a rival high school's football field.
So here's the deal. Years ago, maybe... But now when it's just common practice to do a Google search on a potential employee,
you don't mean
to think this is going to pop to the top of his credits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, this dude is going
This is going to go right past the bake sale he organized in 1988.
No. He's going to have to go into business for himself.
Yeah.
There's no other,
mulching.
Yeah, mulching, landscaping. Maybe go back to school, become a CPA, or an accountant,
what kind of mea culpa?
Insurance. I don't know, but he can't. He's unhirable. He was crapping on the football field or whatever.
He's going to have to change his life, and I'm curious about weird, quirky things like this. Not like real serious offenses where you've injured someone or you've
child porn
assault or whatever. That is a whole other story.
Yeah, we can understand
what about
that.
Like,
and you've got
Toms?
Serious repair work to do. But what's that?
Peeping Toms.
It's in the realm. That's creepy.
More embarrassing things, you know, a public nudity or something
or
like that.
Or like you know, like the people who like pilfer from a fund or the people who take like the, you know, take the jar of, you know, donations off a counter just dumb stuff.
I'm just curious what goes into having to restart your life.
How do you repair that?
Trying to erase this part of it, you know.
And
what I mean?
Can you? In this day and age, with the accessibility of information on anyone, can you effectively erase it?
Yes, but you have to swallow that pill. You have to say, all right, this is who I am, this is what I did, and own it.
Yeah. Well,
you think that's the way to take control of it?
Yeah. Well, I know people that have gotten citations for peeing outside.
Awards, you're saying.
Yeah. No. Not like awards. Yes. No, but like, you know, I know somebody who got caught peeing outside of shenanigans up in the Poconos. It's like, dude, yeah, you're in the woods. Of course you're going to pee outside. But,
right.
You know, and then another friend of mine from college got a citation for peeing outside and actually hung the citation in the in his dorm room. That was like a badge of honor. You know, pooping and peeing aren't far off from each other.
Here's a different deal, though. If you're in a frat or you're in a college, it's almost expected that you do things that are disgusting to some level. but this guy, this is a weird one to come back from because it's always going to come up.
Can I go back to something Casey said?
Yeah. Wait,
peeping and pooing aren't too far off from each other.
They're
right?
not.
Right.
I think they are.
Well,
I think they are.
Well, they're perceived that way. And but the difference in this guy's case.
Yeah.
He was doing it every day.
He was doing it every
day. It was at a rival.
And then if he had been taking a leak every morning in the same spot, I don't think this would be an issue.
No, because nobody would even know.
Yeah. Listen, he was driving there. He was driving there to do this.
So this was a mystery for a long time.
Yeah, we love a mystery.
And then, you know, and then it became a story without even knowing who did it. So that I don't know. Like, maybe if he got caught the first time, we wouldn't have been talking about this.
Right.
You know, but this became a story, and then they caught the guy.
Well, at the point at which they're setting up cameras, now it is an involved investigation.
Yeah.
So at that point, this was going to go up into the stratosphere when they got him.
Somebody was pointing out, how about that? You remember the chick out front of Helium Comedy Club was caught on camera berating of the police officer?
What happened to her?
Good question.
That's an exact example of what we're talking about.
You've got it. You have to do a redo.
So she was a mid-level reporter, what, for
Fox?
For Fox.
Was it Fox? Was PHL?
No, it was WB or whatever. Yeah. See, then this is
the... It wasn't Fox.
So we're already forgetting some of the facts.
Yeah, you forget the details. You forget.
All I know is that she assassinated Lincoln.
No, she didn't know. She's not.
It was John Wilkes Booth.
You have to be really old to do that.
But whatever her next job is, at some point, that'll come up. Hey, you remember that girl that did that thing at Helium? And then you're just like, yeah, that was me. It was a low point in my life. And then you move on from it because there are so many scandals and so much viral videos and viral stories. But the shelf life is shorter than it ever used to be.
Do you then start to deflect? You say, yes, that was me. But I know the guy who was crapping in the field.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. What was the story with that guy?
Absolutely.
I guess you could... maybe tackle it head on by going directly to helping other people who have done a similar thing. You know what? Like, I too was like you one day, and I learned, and now I would like to show you how to, you know what I mean?
I used to drive across town to a rival team's football field to poop, to poop, to poop.
One of those commercials. Yeah. Different angles.
To poop. To dump, to dookie. But I got help, and you can too.
Yeah. For all those who may do something similar.
Dookie, crap, diarrhea, duty.
Squeeze cheese.
Squeeze cheese.
Yeah.
Float an air biscuit, fart, belch. Whatever you're doing in public, we can help.
You have to own it. Yeah.
I'm Morgan Freeman. There are many people right now taking craps on public fields. You can help.
Hey, let me go to Adam. Hi, Adam. Good morning.
Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay.
What's up, dude?
I've been a cop for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 18, 19, I don't remember exactly, I was trying to buy KY jelly. And
its intended use?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for its intended use.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little embarrassed, so I put it in my hoodie pocket and went to Walt at the counter. Before I got there, I was stopped.
by one of the managers and told that I was stealing and I was going to be arrested. And sure enough, he took me in the back. They had secret cameras or whatever, and they called me and actually arrested me for stealing KY.
They can't, though, because you never tried to leave the store.
Well, they absolutely can, because I said the same thing, and they sure enough did. It was dismissed in court, but sure enough, years later, sitting through my psych evals for police interviews, I had to explain why I got caught stealing personal KY lubricant.
Listen, Casey, I remember a story of a guy who took a can of tuna and put it in his pocket, and they charged him and his friend for murder in...
Yes.
No way.
But yeah. Wait, there was a type of skid that the car he was driving would have left.
Yeah, unfortunately, his cousin Vinny was a lawyer.
Wait a second. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
positive traction.
So anyway... Oh, we lost him. He hung up. So he had to deal with the embarrassment of being
of
a
explaining
kid.
That.
Yeah. And he ended up becoming a cop. But he had to explain right. that he stole KY jelly.
I know for the police officers and some of the other professions, like, it's better to, because they say, we're going to find out about your background. So you tell us up front.
Right now.
Yeah. Before we find it. So, like, you then have to come forward with that story.
And that, as much as you'll try to that will come up every time.
Yeah.
That dumb little KY thing, which was innocuous, will come up to haunt you. I have a question, Preston. You remember it's a little bit more obvious, but remember that woman who was a former astronaut who drove?
Oh, yeah.
Wearing diapers?
Yeah, so she wore the pens.
Right.
So she can make, like, record time to whoever she was going to kill.
I found out that story was
embellished?
Elaborated a little bit too much. She had them. She wasn't wearing them. And But anyhow, yeah, that's a perfect example.
You're associated with that forever.
Yeah totally. And, we got a call here I'm going to go to in just a second, but how about the Swiss cheese dude?
Yeah.
I was going to ask that.
Spanking it with the cheese.
You just change your name, can you? Yeah, you can, right?
Change your name to Cheese Spanker.
I don't know. It depends. Maybe if you have criminal records, it might be more difficult
to
change your name.
Do you become a cheesemonger?
Maybe you do.
Are you going to eat it or rub your junk with it?
I love cheese.
With your
God, do I love cheese.
It's him standing in front of a wedge of cheese at waist level.
No, I mean, honestly, how hard?
More holes than my wife.
How hard is it to change your name?
Oh, my God. Did you just say that? Not you, Casey, Steve.
Oh, so here's this great picture of him.
Oh, my God.
So Case, on this case, they did release the guy's name.
Yeah.
And so, I think any search.
Change it to Cade Rocker.
Cade, if you go into, like, if, let me ask you.
Pictures of this guy.
If you're going in to get a job at, a Home Depot or whatever, is it common practice for them to, like, just do a quick Google on your name?
I don't know.
I think big corporations like that will do a background check.
What if you're going to be like a clerk or if you're just because it's so easy to do. Is it? It's been years since I looked for a job that way.
They'll check your background. You can't walk in with all kinds of felonies and robbery on your background, and then they'll give you a job. So they're checking.
That would pop up
in some way, of course.
Yeah.
But Kathy, going to what you said about letting them know ahead of time. If you were to sit down, you've had this thing happen. And you're going to sit down for a job interview, and you may as well just go, listen, I know you guys are going to check. Just to let you know, when I was 19, I took a dump outside, or however you want to word it.
I see here you would roll up slices of cheese and pleasure yourself with it on various trips around the city, but that it was more enjoyable when people made eye contact with you. So we're mostly heavy machinery here.
Hang on, he rolled it up?
I would assume for that tube, that fleshlight feel.
I never made that leap.
I assume you rolled it up. And
I don't know. We're just assuming, and I will have to make sure that I correct that.
Yeah. Did you see Bill interviewing?
See here that you use cheese to pleasure yourself. You know what?
Me too.
But yeah, I would think that if you flat out said, listen, when I was a kid, I got arrested, this happened, I just want to let you know that that's in my past, I'm a different person now. Don't you think they would appreciate something like that?
I'm wondering if because of the wealth of information so readily accessible, if this starts to reconfigure the way these things are looked at. Because, you go to the let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. and, you know.
And everybody has a pass.
Everybody has a pass. So at what level, does cheese get a pass? Cheese pleasuring?
So to say, I'm not pooping on somebody's.
At least I didn't poop in a field.
Yeah, come on.
Let me go ahead.
No, so I just found People.com reported on this story, and I didn't see this last week, but so they said that he was at the track and he was running.
Mm-hmm. Running and pooping at the same time?
Listen, not that that's, but like, you know, sometimes these runners.
Yep.
Have to go to the bathroom. Now, listen, he was at a school. He was whatever. But anyway, so he was arrested while he was running on the track. So maybe he wasn't going there just to poop. I don't know.
Listen, here's the case. Maybe the guy does his early morning run. He gets a bite to eat at the house on the way to where he's going to go run. That's when the food makes its way through the system. He's got to take a dump right before he does it. So he goes ahead and does it. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's there. Hey, I'll just, I'll squat in the field and do this real quick. I run. It may be that simple. Although not a good idea.
Right.
No.
Here's the deal.
You know what? It may not be this guy who's trying to make a statement.
Yeah, listen. Yeah.
By leaving anonymous piles of poop around the track.
Because if you're accidentally doing this, you can and maybe probably should go back and clean it up. Now, I know.
Yeah.
I know somebody.
You did.
I know somebody who had to take an emergency dump and
use the sock.
And
Use some
things on in the back of this person's car.
Some Y100 shorts.
No, this is
you left on the side of the road.
This is much later.
Last week.
And then after this person drove away, it became apparent to this person that that there are cameras there and that somebody might have to clean this up. And why not go back and clean it up yourself when you actually have the proper things? So,
and wave to the camera.
Well, no. Now there's no need to check the film.
All right.
You know what I mean? So
where was it?
I don't know. This person never told me that.
Okay.
Maybe on the side of this building, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
I will have to hear about that story another time. I'm going to go to Bob, who has a story to bring us up to speed on. Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Preston Van Elliott. How you doing?
I'm awesome, brother. What's up, man?
Hey, talking about the people having a tough time coming back from things. What about the Mad Whacker? How's he ever going to get a job again?
The guy who is right now, was he ever busted? Yeah, that's the thing. So I think he's probably doing phenomenally well. The guy who was, it was like a lime or neon green.
The yellow neon.
Yeah. Right.
The funny thing about it was I used to work with him before he was arrested.
Wait. Okay. Bob, slow down for a second here. Are you used to work? He was arrested?
Yeah, he was arrested. Wasn't he a couple years ago they caught him?
For doing that?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Is this the guy that I saw? Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Yeah.
So he's okay. Yes, you saw the guy.
Okay, yeah.
We talked about it on the air. Then we got calls from other people who saw the same thing. In fact, live one morning, we got a call from somebody who was following him. I never heard about him getting arrested, Bob.
The story was he got arrested and this used to be someone I used to work with.
Okay. So there were a couple guys here. So we had the guy in the neon.
Yeah, the yellow.
We had the guy who was driving around filleting a pickle.
Yep. That was a different thing.
We had the cheese guy.
Now that guy was a story.
Right. So the cheese guy they did find him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was in Norristown.
The pickle guy? No, right?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't really doing anything illegal. He was sucking on a pickle.
Yeah.
But so what did you end up hearing about him, Bob?
Well, where I used to work, it went around there once you got arrested. Everyone learned about it. And it just so happens, talk about this, everything going 360. His daughter and her boyfriend actually robbed a fashion bug of a friend of mine who used to manage. So that whole family's, effed up.
Yeah.
Wow. The daughter robbed a fashion bug, and dad's driving around spanking it in a neon. Yeah.
Any word on whatever happened with him?
No, he's... Probably doing the backdoor business in some prison.
He drives for Lyft, Preston.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. All right, Bob. I never knew that guy got busted.
Yeah, neither did I.
Appreciate it, man. So, but that's one of those. But it never made the headlines, and I don't know what he was officially busted for. But,
For example, if it gets in the paper, and for example, the original story goes in, that's seen by everyone. How many times does the retraction have the same penetration of the original story? It never does.
Nope. I'm gonna go to Amanda. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Amanda?
So I manage preschools, similar to the superintendent, but the early childhood field, and men are rare to come by. So we had a college grad from a local university come in Great interview, great letters of reference. You know, everything was right on paper. And we always look for background checks. Before his background checks even got back to us, parents came to us letting us know that he was busted for urinating in a school zone.
Okay.
So the backstory when we did approach him about this was he was drunk one night on his way home from a bar and went to the bathroom, you know, on the side of the road, and it just happened to be in the school zone. And I don't know that that man ever got a job in teaching, and it's a shame, but that's going to follow him forever.
So he just peed in a place that happened to be very likely that he was unaware that it was a school zone, and then that has shut him down.
Unaware.
Wow.
And
so
2 in the morning, you know, so I was a Westchester student, but 2 in the morning, and he didn't know that he was in a school zone, but those school zones, when you're in education, they'll get you.
Yeah, so he, and you worked where he was applying, and I guess you didn't give him a job?
I worked where he was applying. He was fantastic with the kids, wonderful on paper, but, we couldn't hire him.
Because the parents found out about it.
Things like that are public record, and we always do that.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, school zone peers got to go.
Exactly. Right?
Exactly.
Man, that's too bad.
Yeah.
You know,
that something like that'll follow you.
But you know what? When kids are involved, you can't take the chance. Maybe he was. Maybe he just so happened he didn't realize. But maybe, you know, if there was more to it and they hired him, well, they're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like you're hiring Jared Fogle to be your. I wonder what lengths you'd have to go to. Or could you even possibly, if you get it excised from your record? Still would pop up somehow, right?
I don't know, man.
There's no whiteout to this stuff once it digs in.
Okay. Let me go to Josh, who has a very extensive criminal record.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to have to wrap it up in just a moment, but he says he has a method to land an interview, or I guess maybe to land a job.
At gunpoint.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Let's find out. Hey, Josh, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
I just wanted to stop in and let you guys know about my history as far as job interviews and what I do personally when I have them. You know how paper
trail?
When you fill out the application, there's a part that says, have you ever been convicted of a felony or
yes.
a misdemeanor?
Yeah.
I don't ever put on there what I've been convicted of. I always put, I will discuss an interview, and if they give me a chance to have an interview, that's when I go in and I explain to them that at one point in time, I was convicted of this and the reasons behind it. Fact is, I'm not who I used to be.
Let me ask you one question. So you're saying at that point, just to get you clearly, there's a point on which on the form or the application where they ask you if you've ever committed a felony. You at that point you request an interview or what is
I write underneath of there, we'll discuss that interview.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll discuss at interview.
Okay.
Meaning, yes, I did. I am. And right. I'll tell you what the details.
I'm surprised, though, that alone doesn't shut you down.
Yeah. Right.
Well, actually, believe it or not, it does. The majority of the time, it will do that. But there are people that will give me an opportunity and others an opportunity to explain because.
Okay.
Just because somebody's been convicted of certain things doesn't mean that that's who they are now.
No, I agree. And listen, it's worthwhile to take a temperature of someone and say, look, can I help this person out who's really trying to turn their life around or maybe made a mistake? Or I mean, this person, I'm like, dude, you're a psycho. You're not working here. So at least give them the opportunity.
You're saying just for people who may be in the same situation have turned their lives around and want to get a shot at it write that down.
What I was,
okay. Exactly. All right. That's sage advice then. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, guys.
Take care.
And there are companies that will specifically do that. Like,
yes.
They know that they, you know, have a record that they're felons, and they will bring them in for an interview.
One more call.
Crime Rings will do that.
And then we got a break because we got to get ready for birthday bucks. I have Rose. Hi, Rose. Good morning. Rose, is that your name? Rose, did your son poop in a bag in high school and the legacy still follows him?
Yes.
This is what it says on my screen.
It does.
And I really want to hear this story. Rose, okay, there might be a robot in the room.
Well, she's pooping out the window.
Rose, honk your horn if you can hear me. Oh, she can hear. Okay.
Rose? Good. Rose?
Rose?
Chardonnay?
Rosie. Person sitting in your car.
Whose son pooped in a bag.
Whose son pooped in a bag.
That should narrow it down.
Are you there?
There's a lot of God. People going, it's me.
Damn it.
She's not there.
I really want to. Well,
is this car driving itself?
I can hear them.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Rose.
There's a car without anyone in it.
I really wanted to hear that story, too. All right, Rose.
Damn. Sorry, Rose.
It's my son pooped in a bag and that's haunted him all the days of his life. His name is Cade.
All right. Interesting. But thanks for your calls. I appreciate it. We do have to take a break and come back in a moment. Okay. Casey pointed to this. I can give away three of these. We have a screening of Deadpool 2 on Thursday.
Yes.
It is a little bit earlier in the day. Keep this in mind. You need to be at the Ritz East by 4 o'clock if you want to go to this. So clear the phone lines. Take the first three callers, 215-263-WMOR. Listen, this is more than a week in advance of the release of the movie, which is May 18th. So it's this Thursday. You need to be there by 4 o'clock. Deadpool 2, it will be at the Ritz East in the city. 215-263-WMMR. Three callers, you get them.
Hey, podcasters, I know that you heard Preston announce the Deadpool 2 screening, and I know that you are dying to go, and you know that I set aside some passes for you. So if you would like to go, email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. Now, remember, this screening is at 4:30 p.m. at the Ritz East in Old City on Thursday, May 10th. You'll have to be there by 4 p.m. to check in, so if you can make it at that early time, send that email now. I'll contact all the winners via email by Wednesday morning. Good luck, and I'll be seeing you guys at the screening, because Deadpool f***ing rocks, and you rock too. Love you guys.
All right, here we go.
MMR's Birthday Bucks. Birthday Bucks.
WMMR Philadelphia and A&T Chevy in Sellersville. Your opportunity to win $1,000 starts right now. You have until 15 minutes past the hour to text this word to this number. All right, so the word is world. And the company-wide short code number you want to text it to is 40772. Once again, the word is WORLD, W-O-R-L-D. Text that to our special company-wide short code number, 40772. And you just might win yourself $1,000. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows, upgrade your home with Anderson Windows, admoyer.com. A Connecticut woman is making a full recovery after doctors removed a 132-pound tumor from one of her ovaries.
132 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, surgeons, physicians, and medical staff at Danbury Hospital had cut the massive tumor out of the 38-year-old woman in a single surgery.
My wife weighs like 112 pounds.
Yeah, the woman, who wants to remain anonymous, said that she had been in pain for several months. In the 2 months before seeing the doctor, the tumor had grown rapidly, about 10 pounds a week, leaving the woman unable to walk and wheelchair-bound. The tumor made her appear overweight, but she actually was malnourished.
Because this was eating up all the stuff?
It was sitting on her digestive tract.
Oh, man!
The doctor had never seen a tumor of this size. He said she was desperate for help. He assembled a team of 25 clinical specialists, including gynecological oncologist Linus T. Chong, who removed the tumor. The patient's left ovary, 6 pounds of extra skin caused from the tumor, and reshaped the woman's abdomen with a 5-hour surgery. Miraculously, she went home 2 weeks following the surgery. She's making a full recovery. It's one of the largest tumors ever removed worldwide. After the tumor, skin, and fluids were removed, the patient was about 185 pounds lighter.
Oh, my God. What a diet.
The patient said when she went back to work, they didn't recognize her. And the surgery was so...
Where's your tumor?
It was so successful that if the woman wanted to have another child, she can. So it didn't...
That's astonishing.
Didn't destroy her reproductive capabilities. It's unknown what caused the tumor to grow so large. Isn't that wild?
What do you think they did with it afterwards?
I think they played volleyball with it.
That's a big-ass volleyball. Yeah. I don't know.
Crab soccer.
I would imagine that they would put it in an incinerator.
Okay, I didn't know if you store something like that for future medical.
Maybe the Modern Museum will take
right?
it, you know?
Yeah.
A raccoon caused an Air Canada flight bound for Toronto from Saskatoon to be delayed nearly 7 hours Thursday night. I mean, the raccoon was on the plane.
Okay, so it wanted to leave, and they wouldn't let it off, correct?
Yeah, well, it didn't have a
boarding
passport.
Pass, yeah.
Flight passenger Damien Lee said that it was just like a circus trying to get the raccoon off the plane. The flight was originally delayed due to a baggage issue, but within an hour, lassos were brought out to try and catch the animal.
The old raccoon lassos.
Lee says passengers couldn't yet board the plane, and eventually the raccoon scurried off. The flight eventually took off and landed in Toronto at about 3 a.m., a man clad only in his underwear while wielding a bottle of vegetable oil was arrested at 4 a.m. Thursday after an officer reportedly saw him chasing a woman who tried to shoot him with a taser.
Okay. So she tried to shoot him with a taser. He's chasing her with a bottle of vegetable oil.
Yeah, in his underwear.
Okay.
While on patrol, an officer heard the sound of a taser being used and saw the nearly naked man running down the street after the woman.
They say he had that certain Wessonality, Preston.
A second officer arrived and the couple were separated. The man told police that his girlfriend had been at his residence earlier that night and that she refused to leave after he told her to. The report says that the couple got into an argument and that the man told her not to be so loud because his mother was asleep in the house. The man tried to restrain his girlfriend and bit her arm, police said he told them.
My mother's sleeping.
This is when the woman grabbed a taser and ran out of the residence. The man grabbed a bottle of vegetable oil and was going to dump it on the woman when police arrived.
Ah.
Police said the woman told a similar version of the event and showed them the bite mark on her arm. She said she shot the taser but said its probes didn't hit the man.
Okay.
The man was arrested on suspicion of domestic abuse in the case.
Hey, so at your house, do you have a taser always at the ready?
Well, you never know. So, yeah, I've got one right by the door just in case.
A lot of these people do.
Hey, how about this, man? An award-winning filmmaker, Carlos Carvalho, died after an accident while shooting the ITV series called Wild at Heart. He was tragically killed when a giraffe attacked him.
What? A giraffe killed him.
While he was getting a shot of the animal. Carvalho, who had been working on the majority of the series about a British family who have set up a game lodge in South Africa, while shooting a close-up of Gerald the giraffe's body and feet at the lodge, the animal became inquisitive. And listen to this. It headbutted him.
Snapped it down. That's how they defend themselves.
I originally thought it was going to be a kick, but it headbutted him, sending him 16 feet in the air and causing massive head injuries. After the attack, he was airlifted to Johannesburg's Mill Park Hospital, and he died on Wednesday night from his injuries.
So when you see them battle each other, they'll do that. They'll do the cocking back of the head and wrap each other with it.
Yeah. Carvalho won the Silver Lion at the Cannes Film Festival in 2003. That is
when they said this photographer died, I did not expect it to be at a giraffe.
It's a freak accident. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. One of New Zealand's most senior naval officers is accused of hiding a secret camera in the toilets of the New Zealand embassy in Washington in an attempt to obtain intimate footage of people using the bathroom. Alfred Keating, 58 years old, was a commodore in the New Zealand Navy and was one of the country's most senior naval officers before he resigned last month.
So he's trying to get compromising bathroom footage of people?
Yeah. And this is
I really have to take a poop.
This is the Commodore in the New Zealand Navy.
Got a turtle head poking.
Keating was serving as a defense attaché embassy in Washington in July. On the 27th, a small covert camera was discovered in a unisex bathroom in the embassy when it fell out of a hiding spot in a heating duct.
Mm.
It had been positioned to capture images of anyone using the bathroom. The embassy toilet was generally used by approximately 60 embassy staff. New Zealand police traveled to Washington to investigate and brought the recording device back to be forensically examined. Investigation revealed the device had been in place for some months, as the homemade platform it was mounted on was covered in a thick layer of dust.
Well, if it was New Zealand, you know they have some footage of Peter Jackson.
On the day that it was discovered, the camera had been activated at 9 a.m. and it had captured 19 images over a five-hour period of people using the bathroom.
So what did they say what the angle was? Was it up down? Pointed down behind the toilet.
A search warrant of Keating's home in New Zealand led to him being charged with attempting to obtain intimate visual recordings.
Wow.
The prosecution alleges that Keating's computer contained software to operate the camera and also that his DNA matched that found on the SD card inside the camera.
A slam dunk.
He's pleaded not guilty to the charges. So.
This is insane. Do you have any evidence? Yes. Volumes of evidence.
Your DNA on it.
Yeah.
And there you go. That is what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, another quick mention because you got a few minutes left. You have until 15 minutes past the hour. to text our special word to our special number. This is MMR's birthday bucks and another shot at $1,000. This is our last week in doing this. So text the word world, W-O-R-L-D, to our special short code number. It is 40772. So that's world to 40772. And good luck to you. What do you want me to do here?
Well, you know, we missed this one earlier.
We did?
Yeah.
When were we supposed to do that?
I think around 7 a.m.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. All right, he's pointing to an announcement.
Oh!
Well, then.
This is exciting.
Always exciting.
All right. Give me some music at the ready, Case, because we gotta sell this with some little shimmy to it.
Anything you want me to play, Preston?
Not necessarily.
All right.
You have your slide whistle over there?
I do.
You can play that if you want to.
And I have crowd noises if you'd like.
All right. So we are excited for this event once again. It's yearly, and we're excited. We officially want to open the Jersey Shore for the summer, dear friends. Number of things going on. Friday, May 25th, you can join MMR for 3 live broadcasts. We, of course, will begin the morning. The Preston and Steve Show at Keenan's North Wildwood with our friends Coors Light. When we are done, we'll hand the broadcast duties over to the one and only Mr. Pierre Robert, who will be live at Margaritaville in Atlantic City. And he will handle that from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then we get Jackson in on the mix. And
nice.
Jackson will be at the Inlet on Old Inn, North Wildwood. Broadcasting from 3 to 7 p.m. with Victory Brewing Company. And also the Summer Views Beachfront Bash. So this is going to be a full day of party activities and officially ushering in the summer party season. So
this is astonishing because you got to figure the amount of revenue that's generated by the Jersey Shore during the summer, and that the entire state has asked us to open it up for them. It's quite an honor.
We love the state of New Jersey, and we are honored in the fact that they have given us this responsibility.
Or we're just assuming that they are.
No, either one.
Yeah.
So Friday, May 25th, 3 live broadcast, Preston and Steve Show at Keenan's in North Wildwood with Coors Light. Pierre is live from Margaritaville in Atlantic City. And then Jackson at the Inlet on Old in North Wildwood, and that will be with Victory Brewing Company.
I love that. I love the fact that we have everybody down there for the day. It's very exciting. So wherever you are, there's a show or one of the shows to get to. You get to all three if you want to do it.
I'm sure you already have your plans, but we just wanted to solidify those.
Yes.
By officially making the announcement and the opening of the Jersey Shore. So, yeah, a lot going on. We have the details at WMMR.com. In fact, they're there right now looking at them online. So go to it. And then I have an announcement about an announcement.
A pre-announcement announcement.
This is
always exciting.
This is a trailer for the trailer.
Yeah, because this is vague and uninformative.
Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
We will be announcing the Rock Allegiance tour.
Oh.
Or show, I should say.
Yes.
So, you know what? Yeah, I don't need the drum roll.
Okay. You know what? I've had a little tease at what we can expect. It's pretty amazing.
Okay. So that's tomorrow morning. Listen at 8 a.m. for the official concert announcement and to find out what bands are going to be playing this year's festival. So we have this is a pre-announcement announcement.
It's an aggressive lineup. I'll just say that and let you ruminate on that.
So we'll do that around the time of Bizarre File like we just did, or the birthday bucks, and get you set for that. So make sure you don't miss out on that.
Are you going to have a pre-announcement recap later on?
Yeah.
To announce what we're going to announce?
Yes.
Re-announce.
Just remind people of what we announced earlier about tomorrow's announcement.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. So we'll recap the announcement that we did about tomorrow's announcement.
Yeah, a recap. An announcement, a pre-announcement recap.
Yep, exactly.
When will then be then?
That will
And by the way, the water will flow like water.
Okay, so that'll be a little bit later on this morning.
Everyone's going to tune in.
We will take a break. That's what we will do. Come back in just a moment, and we got some more stuff to get into this morning. And I'll tell you about the Word of the Week prize when we get back a chance to win something good this week. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
You're a real crumb bum.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So there was, over the weekend, the St. Louis Cardinals had a game, and their catcher had a nasty little injury that took place.
Oh, my God.
Yadier, is that how you say his name, Nick?
Yeah.
Yadier Molina was placed on the 10-day disabled list on Sunday.
Ooh.
He got hit in the balls with a 102 mile per hour pitch from reliever Jordan Hicks.
I hadn't seen it until just now.
Yeah, they got a good slow motion shot of it, and you see the.
Oh, it doesn't even bounce.
No, and it was tipped by the hitter, and it went down, and it just hit him.
Oh my God!
So he's ready to catch it. The tip knocked it down below his prepared glove, and it catches him right sub ball. Upper taint area,
yeah,
and cause some and severe damage.
You can see the shock wave.
Yeah, you see it move.
Yeah.
But now he's wearing protection.
Of course,
right?
He is. He's wearing a cup.
He's wearing very thick panties.
Well, no, because I mean, honestly, if he wasn't that, I mean,
that would have been far. But still, it's surprising that. So as much as you think those things, like you know, the protection is going to really. There ain't no way you're getting a ball at that velocity hitting you in your groin is not going to do some damage, and he had to be. Taken off the field, and was there surgery, right?
I don't know if there's surgery or not.
I saw a hockey goalie. Who was that? I can't remember.
Flat Nuts McGillicuddy.
No. But what he did is he put on a cup like you would see that catcher wearing.
Yeah.
So he had that on, all right? And then he put, like, a bigger cup over that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
so he was double cupped.
Now, granted... hockey goalies are, you know, much more bulky and baseball catchers can't be. Maybe they can be, but I mean, that is a fear of mine.
Mm-hmm. Of getting a hockey puck slapped into your ball sack?
A baseball. And I do, because my kids play baseball and softball,
yeah.
I'm around it quite often, and every now and again they'll ask me to, hey, can you catch this pitcher? I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
you know? And I'm not wearing a cup.
Is there anything that indicates, Nick, if there was any?
Yesterday Molina went underwent surgery for what the team has called a pelvic injury. it's like a hockey saying there was a lower body injury.
Right, yeah.
But a pelvic injury with a traumatic hematoma, and he's on the 10-day DL, like Preston said, but he's going to be out for at least a month.
God,
well, think about it now. If that hit him in the, you know, if that caught the cup, it may not be his testicles per se, because you know that. The way that cup is shaped, if you, you know, shove that into, if it pushes really hard, it could be, like, it could leave, like, a triangular bruise around
it. It could
have
ruptured the sacral region as the cup collided with the nutchicles.
Well, that thing. Yeah. No, I'm talking about, like, you know, the like the gap between your leg and your...
Yeah. Take your pants off and show us.
The thing is, it's not like...
All right.
So it's not like the cup, you know, like so totally surrounds your
no
your
doesn't.
Area
no
because it's the cup actually goes in kind of a sock thing, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. So it's
and that
not,
goes inside a bustier.
No, but and that just goes over your balls.
So,
right.
You know?
Yadier Molina has a brother named Benji, who's also a catcher in the majors. He's not in the bigs anymore, but he was visited with his brother after the surgery, and this is a direct quote. He says, doctors were able to save both of Molina's testicles.
Okay.
My
and
gosh.
The surgery
right,
lasted.
So it was an injury to the testicles.
Yeah, the surgery lasted 45 minutes, and but that was a concern going in, was that they might have to remove one.
Well, because if you look at the footage, again, as it goes down, that's a it's hitting right in the lower ball upper taint reach. I'm using medical terms here, so you need to follow along. But yeah, you can clearly see that's where it hits.
Did you guys see it was on I saw it on Facebook.
Boom.
Last month. Oh geez, I can't watch it anymore.
I know.
It was on Facebook a couple of last month where these two guys were in a kickboxing match, two Asian guys, and maybe 20 seconds into the match the dude just hauled off and kicked the other dude straight in the balls, and it looked like his nut just blew up the size of a grapefruit.
Like right there?
Yeah, right there.
So they both sat down and had breakfast.
Yeah, match was over at that point, yeah.
They don't have a spoon and some sugar?
Wow.
It's amazing, too, because the again, Steve, to use technical terms here, the grazing of the balls hurts more than a direct punch sometimes.
Oh, yeah, a nut tap.
The tap.
A nut tap can do far more sometimes than a direct. It's almost like the common belief is that had the Titanic pointed directly at the iceberg, it would not have sank.
Mm-hmm.
It was the grazing
that
sunk the Titanic.
I don't know. I don't think I've had enough experience to say.
Like a full-on punch?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had.
You're
moments.
Not a ship's captain, Preston.
Obviously, but I can't say that the graze hurts more than the actual full on.
Oh, my ball!
Well, I don't know. I think they both got to hurt pretty.
Oh,
damn
they're both
bad.
Unpleasant.
I would think that the full on punch would hurt a lot worse.
Well, at one time when I was in eighth grade, some girl for no reason just hauled off and kicked me right in the balls
for no reason.
Wow. We were at a birthday party. We were at Jay Matthews' house.
You didn't do anything to her?
No. Nothing. No.
You didn't mention Mel Mac out of turn?
I might have been talking about Alf.
Who was she?
I don't want to say her name.
Well, maybe she can call in and explain.
I don't even know if she'll remember. But I don't want to say her name because she's a nice human being. I don't necessarily know.
She shouldn't be known as a ball kicker.
Yeah. Okay. But she hauled off and kicked me straight in the nuts, and it hurt really, really bad. And then another time, and I've told you guys about this before, I got double bounced off of a trampoline. You know, I went a good 5 yards up in the air and came straight down on the post. Mm.
When we were in college, we had a friend named Dave, and there was a girl named Christy who had a crush on Dave, and we were all drunk at a party one time, and Christy's like, I can't get Dave's attention. I really want him to like me. So the advice that we gave her while intoxicated was, go up and kick him in the balls.
Oh, my God.
And so she did. She went up and she hauled off and she kicked him square in the nuts.
Oh, my God.
Dave bent over, as you would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Doubled over in pain. And she's like, why'd you tell me to do that? And we're like, why'd you listen? But she got his attention.
Yeah, that's a guy. If she was unaware of the ramifications of a full ball kick, she probably shouldn't have been with him in the first place.
Wow. You know what's funny about the full ball kick is when I was in, you know, like middle school, high school, and so on and so forth, if you were to ever face, you know, getting in a fight.
Yeah.
That was an absolute unwritten rule. No. And if you did that, you'd be exiled.
Ostracized.
I mean,
complete breach of protocol.
It's just flat out not fair. And I would think that's even if you were full on defending yourself.
Yes, yeah, because
you would be considered a pussy if you did that.
You'd be a pussy. It was the dirtiest of tactics. And I think probably they would have considered you losing the fight.
Yeah, I don't think that exists anymore, though.
No,
I think nuts, if it'll get you out of a bit, you know.
You're allowed?
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, what if you have no chance in this fight? You know what I mean? Like,
if you're defending for your life, but if it's an after school.
But I don't even know if they exist anymore.
I
couldn't imagine, you know, like my son is on the shorter side. If he had to, like, fight a sixth or seventh grader who had size on him and he had one choice and one choice only to end this thing. So, yeah. You know, yeah.
Against equals.
No way. But if there's a total mismatch, yeah, you better guard your balls because that's what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
Let me see. I'm going to go here. Jack had to get one removed from an incident. Hey, Jack, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, between 9th and 10th grade, the summer, I was at the YMCA going up the high dive like 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that last time, as soon as I hit the water, I knew something was wrong.
Oh, no.
And what happened is it got twisted.
Oh!
Ow.
So throughout the night, it was just getting bigger bigger, more swollen. And by the next morning, it was like you guys had said, it was big as a grapefruit.
Wow.
So just the process of hitting the water twisted it around?
Yeah.
Jesus. So you go to the hospital, I guess.
So I was brought to the hospital where they said this is going to hurt, and they just twisted it back, and it did hurt. I passed out, and then I was admitted to the hospital, and for 3 days they were just trying to do all these different things, ice, whirlpools.
Luckily for you, the best nut man in the business was in the hospital that day.
And then they did end up removing it. And before they removed it, they said, okay, if we're going to go and try to keep it, if we can't, do you want a prosthetic one? So at 14,
they do have them.
I had to choose whether I wanted to have a fake one put in or not.
And what was your decision?
My decision was, any girl that's going to go there, I'm either going to be in love with or don't care about.
Yes.
And I chose not to have it.
Okay. All right. And Jack, what was... word had to make it around the school after that had occurred. So what was life like after that?
You know, I owned it. You know, it became a topic. It actually worked in my favor. You know, some girls, you know, wanted to see.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
That's never a bad thing.
Yeah.
Three daughters later, it all worked out.
All right.
Yeah, okay. No stopping you, man.
Any nicknames that came up from that, Jack?
Lots of one ball, whatever.
Yep. Uni ball. Yeah.
Guys are very clever.
Aren't they? Hey, one ball.
Hey, one ball. Hey, because you have one ball. We call you one ball because of the one ball.
One of the first texts we got was one nut Jack.
Yeah. One nut Jack, but one ball guy that you are.
Yeah. Hey, one ball guy.
Hey, because he has one ball.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, go with the simple.
Honestly, I mean, if I had like a testicular cancer, I had to have something removed.
Yeah.
I would have to tell everybody that I had prostate cancer or something like that because for the rest of my life.
Because it's cooler.
Well, no, I mean, but, you know, Kruk, you always hear about John Kruk and Lance Armstrong. I don't want that being my legacy.
Tom Green.
Tom Green. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Apparently with Jack, they were lining up to see his junk.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a, you know.
And, you know.
An opportunity for
some. Except for some people. Some people may voluntarily have one removed just to have something to talk about.
Let me go to Mike J. Mike, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Mike?
Hey, a few years ago, I was involved in a motorcycle accident,
mm-hmm.
and I flew over the handlebars, and I busted out my pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have plates put in, a couple screws. Oof. Well, during the operation, the blood had pulled, and it pulled down to my sack.
Uh-huh.
It was as big as a small kickball that kids use in a playground.
So like a Red Spalding. All right. So give me your best guess diameter of this thing.
It was. I never really got to see it.
They didn't give you a tape measure.
Well, one nurse would have to lift slightly up, and another nurse would put a sheet underneath of it to take the weight off of it.
Oh my god! Oh good lord!
Dear Lord.
That happened. That was for maybe about a week and a half.
Oh my god!
And it sort of subsided.
They didn't have to drain it or anything, Mike?
No.
Wow.
Listen, we're gonna have to drain it for you.
Wow.
And that's when the slow jazz music comes in.
that would not seem enjoyable.
Your testicles the size of a kickball. We're gonna have to drain it for you.
Thanks, Mike.
It was just a skin that blown up because of the pool of blood.
So at a certain point. You have to tap that blood out, right? Or does it get reassimilated back into the body?
It just absorbed. They said it would absorb back.
Did it turn reddish, purple, black, or what?
I was told it was a bruised look.
Purple balls.
Purple balls.
Come on, everybody, raise up your hands.
Man, that's nasty. Let me see, and I'm going to go to, here we go.
I am crossing my legs. This is horrific.
John. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, it's Kate.
Kate's on the phone.
That was fast.
What's up, John?
Good morning, guys. A story, I was in high school, and this was in when balls happened, was all the rage.
Yes.
All the rage.
Yeah. So I was stretching up against a lock, you know, arms above my head, you know, just stretching 7 o'clock in the morning. One of my buddies literally drops the one knee, ball taps me square on, two nuts. So I drop to the ground, rolling back and forth, can't breathe. Teacher comes up to me, John, stand up. Rolling back on the ground, can't breathe. I get 2 Saturday detentions because I would not listen to my teachers telling me to stand up.
You had a ball tap. You're in the throes of the agony of said double ball tap, and the teacher would not hear your reasoning?
You got it.
Huh.
Wait, your parents didn't back you up on that, John?
It wasn't worth it. I just took my lumps and...
Wow.
I would have fought nut and nail. Or
thanks,
whatever.
Man.
I wasn't the most... reputable student back
okay
then,
so, you had a reputation.
Oh,
I got you.
All right.
Gotcha. Enough said.
By the way, ball tap, if you're gonna do it, it's got to be the back of the hand. You can't do it with the
otherwise you're a male prostitute.
is that part of the rule?
Yeah.
You can't
otherwise you
cut
just,
them and squeeze them hard. Yeah, yeah.
Feeling your friend's balls.
Yeah.
So you got to do this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Please don't. That was too hard. That was. You got to go a little bit later than that.
All right. Well, I was hitting your hand. I
gently massage.
The ball tap did not exist amongst my circles. That never happened.
No, we actually alluded the ball tap.
There was a tremendous amount of respect for your testicles when I was a young man.
What about
things have changed these days.
What about a finger in the butt?
No, that was when I was, that's when I graduated from high school. That was amongst the band members.
The cheese curl?
What do we call it? Yeah, cheese curl, but we called it the surprise.
The rectal police baton.
Yeah. Let me go to, there's a number of good
I love the various sizes that the inflamed, engorged testicles
That's what I'm seeing too, Steve. Let me
go to, this one is amazing.
I'm going to go to Eddie because we've since stepped it up a bit here. Hi, Eddie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
My name's Eddie. I'm from Folsom, where it's always awesome.
Hey, okay, he's from Folsom, where it's always awesome.
Is that a local saying?
I don't know. Yeah. I grew up by All Folsom. Right. I never heard that before.
All right, Eddie, you were in a car accident.
Yes. I was coming on 95 from an exit, and the car stopped in front of me, and I stopped. I swerved over, and I ended up upside down. I had my seatbelt on. I took my seatbelt off, and I fell right on my head to start my brain. And it went down to my junk. It became, I guess, elephantitis or whatever it's called.
Gingivitis.
Yes.
No, so you had elephantitis, an elephantitis-like condition in your nuts.
Injury doesn't. Elephantitis doesn't happen.
It completely causes, Preston. Car injuries routinely cause elephantitis.
Okay. So let's go. For the purposes of this story, we'll go with that. Major injuries cause you to have elephantitis.
Okay. And I started hurting my man junk. I went to the hospital.
Man junk.
Right away, they grabbed me and threw a catheter in. Uh-huh. They know exactly what was happening, what was going on.
Right.
They put me in my hospital bed. I was there for 8 days. As I was there for 8 days, they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I became a sideshow at a hospital. Every nurse, doctor came over, pulled my sheets back, and said, "Oh my God, they're huge." This one doctor came up to me and said, "They're big, but not the biggest I've ever seen. They're like a women's basketball. The biggest I've ever seen was a men's basketball." I thought they were going to explode. I said, "Well, hand me that stick, Doc. I want to break the record." But he didn't hand it to me. So
what stick?
I was the second biggest of all time. They became as big as a woman's basketball.
Okay, so he had various charts that represented basketball sizes, and they would hold them up next to your testicles.
Yes, that's what he was saying. That's what he was saying.
Folsom, ladies and gentlemen.
It's always awesome.
Folsom's always awesome.
Yes. Thanks, Eddie. That's good advice, though, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Remember, besides the device that could break a window if you drive off a bridge, be aware that elephantitis can occur at any time while you're driving.
Casey, give me that stick.
Sticks just hanging out in the hospital room.
Every doctor carries a stick.
Here's a WNBA ball, not an NBA ball.
Right. Mm-hmm. You'll notice the difference in size. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, that huge ball in Central Park? That's how big my ball was.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to, John next. John M. Hi, John, you're on the air.
What's up, boys?
Hey!
What's up, man?
I got a real feel-good ball story. Nothing bad.
We would love a good feel-good ball story.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
I'm a third ball, actually.
Oh, wow.
You're a pawn shop.
You have three?
Yes, I do. About 30 years ago, I was fiddling down there a little bit, and I felt something, and I was like, "Oh, my God, I have three balls. And my friend's like, "You better get that checked out."
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the doctor, and I was in May. The sun was going down in the background. He's like, "All right, drop your pants." And I'm just really embarrassed.
So you had the examination outside?
I was just looking out the window.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful evening. And he started fiddling around. He's like, "One, two, three." I'm like, "Oh, my God.
Wow. Get the stick."
Bring the stick over, please.
It's more like 2 and 5.
Where's my nut stick?
Not like a full ball, and it usually hangs out like left on my back, but sometimes it travels around.
They're stringing my nut stick.
If my gun now doesn't know that, I call it. It wanders aimlessly around my
stick. Well, so, John, what is it?
I'm sure there's
a
condition.
Is it a cyst? Is it like, or is it?
I got it checked out when I got my, hysterectomy, or I got a
vasectomy. You had a hysterectomy?
You had a hysterectomy?
I got to tell you something. Your doctor's taking you for a ride.
Yeah. John,
you're going to notice that your menstrual cramps are going to disappear.
Real quick,
John, are you from
Delco?
Northeast Philly.
Okay.
That's closer to Boston.
Okay. So you have your hysterectomy to remove your third testicle. Go ahead.
Go on.
No, I don't want to remove it. I want to keep it. That's my go-to.
Hysterectomy is a removal process. I'm sorry. I assumed one of your testicles was being removed during your hysterectomy.
So you know what his balls are like? It's like you ever play that BB game where you want to get the BBs in the eyes and the whole thing where you roll it around? That's what he does. So you have a third ball that sort of moves around?
Yeah, it's a gonad that's a nomad.
A gonad that's a nomad.
How many times do you use that line?
I like that.
That's the doctor. That line is actually written on the side of the nut stick.
Now, there's got to be there has to be, you know, like you have superfluous nipple and so forth.
Yeah, right.
There has to be a medical term for having an additional testicle because it is not. Steve, you may not remember this. Thank you for your call, by the way, John. It was wonderful. We were doing an appearance at a place. It was we don't get down to Delaware too often to do appearances. And we were at a nightclub, and I have no idea if this place exists. I don't remember the name of it. It was a calendar raid. There was a ton of people. And at some point, when we were almost done, some dude tells us he's got three nuts.
Yeah.
And he took it out and showed it to
us.
Do you remember that?
I do not. You'd think I would remember something like that.
In fact,
I remember David Faustino.
I asked him to show it to the crowd, and there were a couple of cops there, and they kind of had some fun with us, and they pretended like they were going to arrest us for,
indecent exposure
and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, but the guy had three balls, man.
Hey, do you remember, Preston, what did it look like? I don't remember.
It looked like a nut sack. I don't know, with three lumps in it. I don't really remember. Polyorchidism.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that's what this guy had. This is actually three testicles.
Okay, polyorchidism. You think that guy had something else?
Yeah, like his had to be a cyst or something.
Is the incidence of more than two testicles in medical literature? The superfluous pamplin, I think it is, for a third nipple? I think that's...
I don't know.
Okay.
You know what? Let's ask the doctor. Why don't we do that? Of course you knew what happened. Anytime you talk about balls. Dr. Mike Zrigliato, Penn Medicine and Fox 29 on the phone line. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Oh, my ball.
Yeah.
Oh, my ball.
Listen, I think now I just, you know, I go from patient to patient. I come in my office and I hear the strangest, wildest things on your show. So anyway, I think this guy has a scrotal pearl and I have a patient that had that. And it's they are little benign calcifications in the scrotum they're nothing to worry about. Now, I must tell you, though, if anyone out there is listening, if you have a third testicle, you need to get it checked out. And I found one in a patient one time, and I said, "Sir, did God give you three testicles?" "No, I started with two." I said, "Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it." I said, "Well, it turned out to be testicular cancer."
So, right.
So the bottom line is, if you feel something down there that hasn't been there, you need to get it checked out. But I think that this guy has something called a scrotal pearl. I have one patient that I noted that on. And
let me ask you, Dr. Mike, are there occurrences of a third testicle in patients periodically?
I suppose I've never come across one.
Every now and then you have somebody who has a third kidney, so I can't imagine it's, you know, completely.
My father has.
Might be anomalous, but.
Three kidneys. Well,
a lot of people get confused because sometimes they have epididymal cysts and things like that. But they have large scrotums with hydroceles, things like that. But the bottom line is, especially in young men in their 20s, especially in 30s, you need to get that checked out because that's the time when testicular cancer kicks in.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's good advice. But to the point of like the catcher who got hit in his scrotum, I don't know if you heard the earlier part of the story, he is going to be recuperating for a month. It's obviously a severe bit of damage, correct?
Well, when you take trauma down there, one, it's extremely painful, and you can have all kinds of things. You can have hemorrhages, you can have significant problems, which can not only lead to infertility, but it can also lead to significant trauma. And I had a patient jump out of a window and landed on a fence right in this.
Oh, my God.
And created all kinds of problems. Sometimes they have to remove a testicle.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Dr. Mike, what year of med school do they give you the nut stick?
I don't know what the hell.
Isn't that the thing in your lobby that's got the leather strap on it, the nut stick?
I never measured. I mean, I never had a stick.
You never had a stick.
I missed out on that.
I don't know. It's probably a different type of medicine. It's probably Eastern.
Nut stick.
Maybe it was a colonoscopy.
It's possible. Oh, a butt stick is obvious, but not a nut stick.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
All right. Well, you're the best.
Take care. I love you guys.
Love you.
Love you, Dr. Mike.
I'll see
you. All right. We'll see you. Dr. Mike's taking good care of me, by the way, all of us. He was checking on me all weekend.
He's great.
I start a whole host of doctor's appointments this week. Not for what I'm sick from, but just.
Are you going to have to do another MRI?
Oh, probably.
Who's your stickulist?
I don't have a stickulist.
What's wrong? What are you going to the doctor for?
I'm getting stuff checked out. I'm getting my back checked out, getting my hearing checked out, getting, you know, just do, you know,
going to the sleep doctor. There's changes that are, let's just say.
I turned 50. What?
There may be a different Preston coming on the horizon.
Prestolina?
Hey, Prestolina.
I don't know.
How do you girls do it?
Oh, how do you? I spent the weekend in heels, man, so
you did walk them out.
Speaking of which, one of the people with at the Walk of Miles, this guy, Pope Mike, who's on the line. That is you, isn't it, Mike?
That's your nutsack.
Mike at the Cardboard Classic was the Pope, if you've ever seen the video footage of him. And he came out to the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. A little blisters on the big toes.
Yeah, I hear you, man, from the heels. All right, so anyway, you have one testicle.
Yeah, back in 2010, something didn't feel right in the shower. And got the urology appointment a month later. He said, in 30 seconds, he says, what are you doing tomorrow? Your one nut's coming out.
Whoa. Wow. It was that soon, that quick of a turnaround.
Yeah, well, they verified it with an ultrasound the next day.
Yeah.
And with an 18-year-old intern, by the way.
anyhow, you had testicular cancer, so they got it out right away, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're all hunky-dory now.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, if it's caught, it's very, very survivable. So
and you know what? And as Steve was pointing out, gentlemen who, us guys are so creative with nicknames, did you become One Bald Mike from your friends or what?
When I got back to work, it was like a big party. It's not like a girl when you have breast cancer and everything's.
It's different. Yes. It's a different tone. Yeah. You're down one nut.
Became one nut Mike in 2 seconds.
Yeah. That's how guys do it. Like, he's got one nut. He's got one nut. He's got one nut. Let's call him One Nut Mike. Hey, what do you say, fellas?
All right. Well, listen, thanks for coming out again yesterday, man. We appreciate it. Or Saturday. Yeah.
Good time.
All right. Good to see you, brother. All right. Old one nut.
Old
one nut.
This is interesting. Let me go to Charlie, who had an occasion. Hi, Charlie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
When I was about 12 years old, I was in a coughing fit.
Yeah.
Smoking something I shouldn't have been smoking.
Uh-huh.
And I sneezed at the same time.
Oh, no.
As I coughed.
Uh-huh.
And I got extreme pain, and my uncle literally carried me to the emergency room to the Methodist Hospital.
Uh-huh.
They looked at me for 2 seconds and sent me to Jefferson.
Okay.
Apparently, I had some kind of a rupture where it twists and gets stuck in the wall.
Like the guy who was on the diving board, but this is just from you coughing and sneezing at the same time.
This is a ball issue. Take him to the Methodists.
Correct. No, don't go to the Methodists.
Yeah, go
right to Jefferson.
Okay. Go to Jefferson.
When they looked at me, they said it's a rupture and I'm losing circulation. So it was an immediate operation.
Wow.
They gave me Valium and Demerol and sat me in the emergency room.
Yep.
And that relaxed me enough that it came down on its own.
Yeah.
But they still rushed me. They still kept me for a couple days and did surgery. They stitched it to the bag so it wouldn't happen again.
You're using all medical terms.
Yes.
I would say this. They do say there is a self-diagnostic series of things you should check. For example, if you're lying in grass and your balls hit your ass. That's a rupture.
That's a rupture. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I was hurt if you were sliding down a wire and your balls catch on fire.
That's a rupture.
That's a rupture.
What happens
or if you're coughing and you sneeze?
Yeah. Well, if you're sliding down a rope and your balls start to smoke, that's also a rupture. Yeah.
So these are the things to remember. They're all in the medical journals.
If you're going down a slide and your balls collide...
That's a rupture.
That's a rupture,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Consult with your doctor. Yeah. Sorry, right. Tennessee.
You may need it. These are just a handful of things that you can do on your own to check and see if you have indeed had a rupture.
I've turned my life around now that I've learned the rules for ruptures.
Let me go over here to Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Not too much. The day after my vasectomy, I went to my nephew's birthday party. And my 9-year-old nephew decided that would be a good time for the first time ever to punch me in the balls.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
First time ever?
Oh, my God. So you
I saw it in slow motion, and I was like, oh, my God, this is happening right now.
How old is the kid?
He was 9 at the time.
So judging by what I saw Casey and Preston go through, you're in the you at that point, you'd still be in the icing your crotch realm, right?
Yeah, with the peas and everything, yeah.
What were you even doing out of the house, Bob?
Yeah.
Vasectomy's not too bad. You can go out.
Could you guys have gone?
Because a 9-year-old will hit you in the
balls.
Listen, I was overprotective the day. Yeah. The several days after getting my vasectomy, I'm just like, this is my space. Everyone stay out of it. I'm going to be over here, and I'm not going to move. Don't touch
my balls.
Yeah.
Well, I was moving gingerly, but once he did that, I basically collapsed right onto the floor and didn't move for 15 minutes.
Sure.
So it was awful. And then, you know, my 9-year-old got beat by my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Funny end to the story, my nephew was beaten.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
But the story turned out funny because my 9-year-old, who was totally oblivious to what had happened, was beaten mercilessly.
I have time for another call here. I'm going to go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Good. So I was born with what they call a descending testicle.
Okay.
It just never develops and comes down.
Yep.
So they have to surgically remove it when you're, you know, when you're still a baby. So growing up, all I knew was I only had one.
Okay.
And then when you get, like, before puberty and all these kids, like, I got hit in the balls. And I'm like, balls? Why are you calling them plural?
Yeah. What's with the plural?
You don't, yeah, because you don't know. You never seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't up, and so people had said this to you, and you eventually, did you have to ask your parents about it, or
how
did
you? I guess it just grew up, and you just start seeing stuff, you hear stuff, and you just realize, like, and then I guess maybe later on they said something about it, and I just realized, like, okay, you know what I mean? But it's never been an issue.
Did you share this information with your friends that you only had one?
No, only girlfriends at the time, and now my wife. You know what I mean?
Andrew, can I see you in the library for a second? There's a, you have one nut, and there are flying squirrels.
Wait a minute. So I was just curious if you ever got the name Old One Nut from
one
your
buddies. Nut. He's got one nut.
No, because nobody
really
knew.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Hey, Andy's got one nut. One Nut Andy. Let's call him that. One, because he's got one nut. Hey, it's a good one.
Thanks, Andrew. Oh, one ball.
Uniball, even. They don't even do that.
Yeah.
Uniball, they have some panache.
Some creativity.
UB.
All right, anyhow. It's a pretty nasty little piece of video, this catcher for the Cardinals.
How fast was the ball traveling? 102 miles an hour?
102 miles an hour.
Out for a month.
Yadier Molina.
You're out of here.
So he is, no kidding, man. That's nasty. All right, anyhow. Thanks for your calls. Appreciate it. Go get the nut stick.
The nut stick.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Doc, bring your stick in here.
Hey. Nice. No, bring in my stick.
All right.
One Nut Andy's here.
Ha! All right. So, I want to give something away for ladies only. It's time to do this again. We have not gathered the Sisters of Pi in a little while.
Oh!
Zeta Eta Pi. We got a sorority get-together coming up, friends. And we do this from time to time. We are headed to, and in fact, this time around, it's just a straight up happy hour party that we're going to do.
That's all it is.
At Parks Casino.
We just miss you.
It will be Thursday, May 17th. That's true. So it's a week from Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. It's a quick 1-hour deal.
We want you back here.
But we want you back at Philly. But we'd like you to come by and check out the brand new Excite Center at Parks Casino. Dennis Miller is playing a show as well.
Awesome.
So we're just going to hang out for an hour and have some cocktails with our sisters. So let's take five ladies who want to join us. Obviously, you have to be at least 21. 215-263-WMMR. It's a ladies-only event. And we're going to hang out in the 360 Lounge at Parks. Happy Hour, by the way, includes buffet, and your first drink is on us. Yeah, like I said, you got to be at least 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 215-263-WMMR is the number. We'll put you on the list.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I saw a text that I wish I would have gotten to in the last segment before we wrapped it up, and it said that the nut stick is next to the poop knife. And I just saw it a little too late. But thank you for your creativity. We appreciate it. We want to welcome our next guest to the studio because this charity event is coming up on May 19th, same day as the MMRBQ. But we even have a staff member who's going to be knocking out both of those things in the same day. Doesn't mean that you can't do it. Two?
Yeah, I think Casey's doing it as well.
Yeah, I'm doing it as well. Yeah.
The big climb?
The big climb. I'll make it. I'll make it all the way to the top. But yeah, I want to do it in honor of Luke and in memory of a couple of other people.
That's cool. This is Philly's FMC Tower at Cirrus Center South, and it's 46 floors going up all those stairs. And Nick, the if you want to cover the charity and all that side of it, if you could please.
Yeah, my nephew Luke, he's 4 years old. He has leukemia. He's been battling it for. He was diagnosed in September, and the PALLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, came to the radio station and said, "Listen, we want to get involved. We'd love to have you guys be a part of Big Climb Philly. They've done this climb for several years. It was a natural fit, and so I said I'd love to help out in any way that I can, do it in honor of Luke and have him be there. Luke's doing well, and so we can talk a little bit about that in a minute. But they asked me to participate. I said sure. So that's sort of where we are now. And we're looking for climbers. We still need those, and we also need volunteers to be a part of the day. They need people to help organize people arriving and that sort of stuff.
So we have a couple of people here. Speaking of Luke, we have Luke's dad, Nick's brother, Adam McElwain. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you, Adam.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for being here. We'll talk about Luke and the event more in just a second. But also, I want to welcome another guest who's going to be a part of this event and an activity that I was really not aware existed. That it is, it's you know, people do these stair climbs and there's a competition around it. And
yes.
There are really, really good people that are at it. And in fact, the gal that's here this morning is ranked 13th among female stair climbers in the U.S. This was in 2016. Maybe she's gone even further. By the USA Stair Climbing Association. And we want to welcome Sally Kalksma to the program. This morning.
Good
Hey,
morning.
Sally.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about the event and so forth, but I'm intrigued by the stair climbing and that there are all these races and events that take place.
Oh, there are a lot of crazy people all over the world. Yeah. There are races all over the world, and I participate in them.
Over the world, right?
I just got back from the Eiffel Tower in March.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I almost every weekend, I can't keep track, I'm traveling somewhere, New York, Philadelphia, Connecticut, Chicago.
And some of them are, some people participate just to do the climb, just to do that achievement, and others race up the stairs, correct?
There are all different reasons to do it. And I got involved because I have multiple myeloma, a blood cancer, and I wanted to raise awareness and funds. And then I met all these crazy people that some just do it for health reasons, some are very competitive, and others know people who need help and
it's a
they
great,
participate.
It's a great exercise. And that's why they sell stair climbing devices because it is a great exercise.
Oh my gosh. I've been a lifelong runner.
Yeah.
And when I got turned on to stair climbing, I got in even better shape. And I was turned on to it in my mid-40s.
Weather is seldom an issue.
Yeah. You go indoors and you climb.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I would say this is akin to when you go to a charity 5K or yeah. an event along mm-hmm. those lines, and yes. there are people that are there to support the charity, and they'll do the 5K, and it's a nice day out with the family, yeah, and things yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. But always at the front of the pack, you have a group of people that are there to compete
yeah.
and mm-hmm. to get the best time and to try and win or to beat their personal best and so forth. So it's got to be similar to that.
Exactly. And it just so happens I'm there for two reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea when I started I would be good at it. And I just worked harder and harder, and I took my aggravations and life out on the stairs. And before I knew it, I was winning overall, or at least my age group.
That's awesome.
All right, so I want to ask about the particulars of stair mm-hmm. climbing as a competition.
Okay.
How do you start out? Because it's such a narrow raceway for a lot of people to be competing to beat each other. Are you just, are you timed individually,
yes.
like with a chip? Okay.
Yes, there's right. only one race I know of where we all start in a mass start, and that's the Empire Run-Up. You start okay. in a hallway, and you all fight for a doorway, and then you elbow your way the first couple floors.
Damn.
Yeah, but most climbs start you every 10, 15 seconds, some as much as 30 seconds.
So okay. you can lap someone going up the stairs, but you don't have 50 people going up at once.
No. You'll pass, not necessarily lap, unless... Okay. the climb is multiple times up the
okay.
building.
Okay, all right.
But usually everybody's pretty nice. They hear you coming up. They're supposed to move. They don't always move, so you have to go around them on a landing.
You have to rabbit punch them in the back of the head.
All right, so here's the thing that I mentioned to Nick mm-hmm. when he first told me he was going to be doing this, because even going up like five or six flights, I can get dizzy because you're spinning around, basically going yeah. up and up.
Wow,
and up
you
and
must
up.
Be going fast.
Yeah. No. If I happen to be like looking down at the steps or something okay. like that, mm-hmm. and if you get focused visually on something, I could easily get dizzy. And you clearly, by the way, you're looking at me right now. That's never happened to you. You look at me like, how dare you ask that question?
Okay, well, the way I climb, and I've talked to other climbers, and you kind of perfect this just because the first time you do it, you don't know what you're doing. And mm-hmm. then over the course of time, you go into a stairwell. If it's narrow enough, you hold the railings.
Yes.
If it's too wide, you hold one railing. And you use your upper body.
Oh,
it's not really? Just your legs. You're
oh,
using your
see,
upper body.
I didn't know you could do that. Okay.
You take two steps at a time.
Yeah.
Not one, but you take two.
The whole time?
The whole time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so this is your specific way of doing it. It's not everyone's, correct?
It's just about
some people
everybody.
Take the elevator.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they kind of get disqualified, right. but they try.
And so you're using the steps as leverage as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a full body workout. It's unbelievable.
So I used to live over in Manioc, and I do the 100 steps. And
yes.
And the thing that I found that I would do going up and down them mm-hmm. is when you go up, you have like a rhythm, Preston. Like
exactly.
A drum, like dun 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 plateau. Dun, 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 plateau. So you have like almost like a song in your mind. Dun, 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 and, yeah. and I kept in my mind, I was doing that over and over again. And so that once you start to do that, it's almost like the Bugs Bunny. Ding, 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 ding. You know, you get that in your mind. Yeah, it makes it easier to do it. So it is a very syncopated thing.
I've heard, I don't know what the instrument is, but climbers have had that. It's almost for drums where it's a beat.
Like a metronome?
That's exactly it. Right. Yes. And they're hitting it every step.
Okay.
They set it.
All right.
Like this,
I
Steve.
Don't.
So you're not
that's,
doing it right.
That's what you don't want to do.
Yeah. yeah.
So you want to be a little bent over because you don't want to be fighting gravity. You want to be yeah. a little bent over, but you want your head up so you're not blocking the air.
Forward momentum.
Exactly. Right. And you want your eyes a little down so you don't trip on the stairs.
And when you do training, Sally, you know, and I we're talking mm-hmm. about this, you'll go up and then elevator down, right?
All the time, elevator down. So yep, the impact is bad on your knees.
That saves your knees
correct.
A little bit mm-hmm. of wear and tear while training.
What's worse yes. impact-wise, going up or going down on
there's,
the stairs?
There's actually
no difference.
No impact
okay.
going up. There's no impact going
well,
up.
Well, when you're carrying Nick back down, it'll probably be...
yeah, I'm taking the elevator down.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. All right, how about injuring yourself? You ever taken a nasty fall?
No, I've tripped when I've gotten tired, but again, you have the handrails. Okay. And I've also caught a man with one arm that he tripped, and I was like, no. Mm. You know, that was at the Sears Willis, and I guess he was getting tired. And
so which was formerly the tallest building in the country.
Yes.
So you ran that? That's cool.
I've done that three times, 103 floors. But
nice.
Now the Freedom Tower they were 103 floors, but when they found out they were the same, they wanted to be taller, so they start us in the basement.
Oh, okay.
So Freedom Tower, we do 104.
And there's a stepladder on the roof.
What's the tallest building or the most floors you've ever done?
Freedom.
It is.
At 104.
Okay. How about the Eiffel Tower? What was that experience like?
That was the most difficult climb I've ever done.
Well, why?
It wasn't
because
tall.
It was in French.
I don't understand French. That one, the lure of that one is you have to hit a time at certain points,
okay,
or you have to look good or they pull you off. Oh. So every time I was going past a volunteer, it's like, bonjour, smiling, even though I was dying. But there was a lot of steps. And you zigzagged. You know the structure
right.
of the Eiffel? So it wasn't tall, but there was a lot of steps. And then when you get to the narrow part, you're just going straight up. And there was barely any turns. And I was just like, and it was
like
windy and it was raining.
Yeah, it must
and
become
you're
like a
outside.
Ladder. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's only a chain link fence keeping
right.
you.
How do you keep your beret on? It's almost impossible.
You did it in 16 minutes?
Yes.
I mean, that seems pretty good.
Yeah, I guess I would have liked a little faster. They actually invited me 2 years ago when I was ranked 20th overall in the world. And then the race was a month after I was going to have my stem cell transplant. That was a year ago, February. So I pleaded with them, can you please give me a deferment? And they were nice enough to do that.
Well, two questions. What is your medical status right now? And what is your ranking right now?
Okay. My medical status is very, very good. I see Dr. Statmauer at the University of Penn right here.
Yes,
he is so pleased. He bombed me with chemo.
Okay.
And right now, there's no evidence of multiple myeloma in me.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
I am on daily chemo. I take a pill every day to keep it that way.
Okay.
Have no idea how long, but it's working, so I'll keep doing it.
Okay.
You know, I look at it like, hey, I'm getting older. Everybody's on some sort of medicine.
Right.
That's what I'm on.
That's what you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sally, you're
yes.
practically a pro at this point, and Big Climb Philly is 46 flights.
Yes.
How long do you think that will take you?
Oh, boy. I love sprints. I love Philadelphia. I am hoping to do that in, I don't want to jinx myself, under 9 minutes.
Whoa!
I hope.
Okay.
I hope. I might have just jinxed myself. I don't know what the floors are like. Every building is different. Like, older buildings are very steep.
Yeah.
New buildings are built to code, so the stairs are lower, but I don't know how long your flights are.
Right.
And how long, like, you might run down a hallway. So I'm just guessing, you know, 46 floors I can usually do under 10 minutes.
What is your ranking currently?
I am not quite sure. I believe the last time I looked, I'm sixth or seventh in my age group.
Okay.
And I'm right now probably about 50th in the world.
Okay.
I want to get down a little
more. All right.
Yeah.
So every race adds to that.
Oh, yeah.
Right, cool.
It does. It's like NASCAR. The points, they build up every race you go to. Someone may be faster than me, but I may do more races than them.
All right.
So I have a better ranking.
All right. So for this event, we have Nick and Casey and Adam. I assume you're going to do it, right?
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Oh,
what
yeah.
kind of training have you guys done to get ready for this? It's a little
literally stairs in the building. I mean, you know, after
yes.
work, and I followed Sally's advice and take the elevator down. But Adam works down in outside of Washington, D.C., and he's been doing the same thing. You can do, you know, outdoor hiking. You can do all sorts of things that help with the lung capacity. But really, as Sally and I talked about it, the best thing you can do is just going up and down. Well, up the stairs, not down so much.
Exactly.
Wait, Casey, is that why you've been taking the stairs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been taking the stairs every never.
No, I'm like,
he has been listening to Stairway to Heaven.
You took the stairs a few mornings last
yes.
week.
Yeah.
Is that why? Elevator
yeah.
was broken.
But I haven't, like, no, the elevator's not broken. If the elevator were broken, I would just go to the east or the west lobby.
Yes.
But how did it feel? I mean, going up six flights of steps and everything. I mean,
four flights of steps, dude.
We're on the fourth floor.
We're on the fourth floor. I thought maybe you went all the way up.
He was going so fast he couldn't stop.
It hurts, and I'm going to get my ass kicked, but, you know, it's for a great cause. So,
well, it's,
you
know,
it's they say on average 15 minutes for people, so if it takes me 20 minutes or a half hour, I don't care. It's like I did a triathlon last year, sprint triathlon, and to me it wasn't about the time. It was just like, all right, let's just do it.
get it done.
Well, are you gonna? Are you just gonna walk up the steps, or are you gonna try and do it with some pace to it? Because you can just walk up the steps.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. I find though when you're under momentum, I find that dun-dun-dun-dun mm-hmm. makes it is better yeah. than walking. You know, if you can get yourself up to the point, and maybe you can back this yeah. up, Sally. Is mm-hmm. it seems to give you better momentum.
Exactly. Yeah. You could do that with your breathing. Yeah. You know. Like that.
Yeah.
And get into a pattern, a rhythm.
Yeah, I'll start mm-hmm. with some pace, and then, you know, eventually I'll be crawling out the
side. But it's early enough, too, by the way. You can do that and make it to the barbecue, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, how about you? What's your method?
So, just as Nick said, trying to find a building that has enough floors to make it worth it.
Yeah.
And the building I work in is from the bottom basement garage to the top is 13.
Oh, that's good.
You can do that yeah. four times, and you're right there. I did that last week twice. And
how'd you feel afterwards?
I felt winded and gassed, but I felt confident that I can do it in 2 weeks.
There you go.
What we're here to do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like when you go to these events, running events, you're like, oh, my God, 10 miles or however it may be seems really daunting. But you get out there and you start doing it, and you have other people around you, and you just keep doing it, and you make your way through
it. And at events like this, when you have a whole lot of support and a lot of people cheering you on, I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday because of the Broad Street run, like just seeing people with signs and seeing people excited for you being there, that's motivation in and of itself. And I'll need it. I'll need it that Saturday morning, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
Now, Adam and Nick are on Team Luke. Luke is your nephew, Nick, your son, Adam.
Right.
He has leukemia. And how old is he? He's four years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to be carrying him while you're doing this?
I am not. No.
Is he going to try to walk in it? Or?
Not because it's not safe for him, but because I don't need the extra challenge.
Yes.
No, he is... he is my son. He's four. He's doing really well.
Good.
As you read in September, he was diagnosed pre-BALL leukemia, which if you're going to get leukemia, is actually the best kind you can get.
Okay.
Everything about his treatment has been better than expected.
That's excellent.
He's amazingly resilient. He's my hero. And meeting people like Sally, help inspire me for him. But you know, as Nick mentioned, they do a great job motivating people, and, Team MMR has, committed to doing this climb in honor of Luke. So we are Team Luke. We have 30 some folks on our team. We'd love to get more than that. So I know there are details on the website to get more folks to sign up to climb.
And if people can't attend and participate, they can donate.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, sharing it with social media these days, a great way to raise money. We are at about $8,400 total that we've raised. Our goal is $15,000. So we have a little less than 2 weeks to do that. Right now we're third place in the corporate leaderboard for funds raised. But overall, just seeing the amount of support and love and people reaching out for us and for our family. We have MMR Team Luke shirts that were made. My son's face superimposed on a Luke Skywalker image. He got a poster made. With
Greg Monahan, by the way.
Yeah, Greg Monahan, who your coworker, does great work and had the T-shirts and a poster made. Surprised by all of that, Luke, this weekend. So
all this information, by the way, is on PrestonandSteve.com.
That's right. Yep.
And this benefits the Leukemia Lymphoma Society?
Yeah. So just one little bit about that. For parents of children with leukemia are lucky. We live just a couple of miles from the hospital. We can walk to the clinic where he routinely gets treatment. There are families that aren't that lucky that must travel long distances to receive their treatment, sometimes need to stay in hotels, need to, you know, commit resources out of pocket to get the health care that they need. And LLS is an organization that helps families like that. And not only from the support and the medical treatment and caregiving for the health of the child, but the fun stuff, too. You know, the baseball games, we got to go to a Nats game a couple weeks ago. Charity events all over the place, getting the kids out, having fun. You know, it for a 4-year-old child to go through, or any child to go through, you know, the chemo and the battle is fairly brutal. So LLS does a great job of distracting children and families from that grind. And, you know, so we're going to help raise funds for families like ours.
Good.
That's excellent. Great. All right. Well, the event is coming up on May 19th. And like you're saying, Steve, it's early. It's, you know, it's 8 a.m., 8 to 10 a.m. And if you're going to the MMRBQ, you can do this too, because Casey and Nick are both going to be doing it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll continue to hit that and try to get you guys on board the team and come out for a great event and a good time as well. And who knows? You might be like, you might end up like Sally. You're like, I love this.
Yes.
I love doing this. Here's a new thing for me to do, you know?
People are great in this sport. Everybody is really supportive. It's and it's not that difficult. It is like the hardest type of race I've ever done, but you just get into it and you get psyched. And it's all positive thinking. It's even with treatment, you know, to get through it. It's positive, never negative. I can, I will, you do it.
But don't jump right in because there are steps involved. Thank you.
There it is. He went and did it. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming by here. Good luck with the event.
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
Adam and Sally, let's hear it. The big climb. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a second. Stay with us.
MMR has tackled the elusive spring and dragged it, kicking and screaming, right in front of the gates of the outdoor concert season. Here comes MMRBQ 2018, presented by Budweiser, Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion, with STP and Alice in Chains, Korn's Jonathan Davis, and Ghost. Eight amazing bands, including The Record Company and Dorothy. Now that I'm falling. Jackie Bam Bam rocks the Sequoia Outback Party Plaza. Preston and Steve meet fans in the Blump Inn. Pierre's Toes in the Grass out on the lawn. And Brendan Jackson anchor complete concert coverage. MMR's 50th birthday edition of the MMRBQ. Tickets are just $35.
Sponsored by Acme, your favorite local supermarket. Also by Meineke Car Care Centers. And Big Apple Circus in Philadelphia.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, we have another run of the Bizarre File, so I'm set to go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Daryl Hall and John Oates, Hoagie Nation, May 26th, presented by Dietz and Watson, a celebration of all things Philly. Tickets now at HoagieNation.com. An off-duty California police officer pulled a gun on a man whom he accused of stealing Mentos.
Mentos?
At a gas station. That is correct. The man had, in fact, just purchased the candy, by the way.
Those are my Mentos, punk.
Sergeant Callahan.
Callahan was there. He's dirty,
Callahan.
Dirty area, you know.
The man had just, in fact, purchased that candy, according to the surveillance video of the incident.
I suggest you put down those goobers.
In You like those?
I like them a lot.
Yeah. In the video, a customer later identified as Jose Areola can be seen paying the cashier for the Mentos
Your
at the gas station.
Sounds like a nipple. You don't even deserve to be alive, nipple boy.
I don't like that.
I met a guy earlier who had one nut. Called him One Nut Andy. I'm going to call you Nipple Boy.
So, Jose Areola can be seen paying a cashier for the Mentos.
Yeah.
Moments later, a man in black shorts and a black shirt who is standing in line behind Areola pulls out a gun and tells him to put the candy back. After Areola tells the man that he paid for the candy, the man asks the clerk, did he pay for this? The clerk confirms the purchase and the officer apologizes to Areola. Areola told the Orange County Register that the incident left him scarred and angry. He said, it's been a month and I still can't shake it. He told the Register he's retained an attorney and is seeking financial damages from the police department.
You throw down on a guy from Mentos?
I know. The Buena Park police confirmed that the man is an officer in their department and that an investigation is indeed underway. Cops in China are hunting a tourist who stole a dolphin from a beach by throwing it over his back and carrying it off.
What? Seems like a job for Ace Ventura.
Yeah. And there's a picture of him. There's footage showing the smiling man in, he's wearing swimming trunks, casually walking away with the poor animal slung over his right shoulder. It had beached itself, so they said it was probably dying.
I shall call him Fripper.
According to the local Marine Patrol, Witnesses saw the tourist approach a dolphin after it appeared to beach itself.
That's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
However, rather than rolling the stricken creature back into the waves, the heartless thief decided to make off with it.
Aww, poor thing.
Shocked bathers said the man approached the animal and then tossed it over his shoulder before walking off with a woman in tow. dolphins are protected animals in China.
Sure.
The man was then seen driving off with the dolphin. And Chinese internet users were enraged over the video, which was widely circulated online. So they are looking for this guy.
Wow.
Well, it probably beached itself because it was not in a good way anyway.
Yeah, it so, did. They yeah. said it had beached itself. Yeah. But rather than throwing it back in, he took it. A doctor described as the resident physician to the sex cult Nexium has been charged by a New York State Oversight Board with illegally conducting human experiments. Did you read about this?
I did not.
Listen to this. Okay, so the action comes 8 months after the state health department refused to act on a complaint from a former cult member who alleged that Dr. Brandon Porter forced her to watch disturbing rape and dismemberment videos.
Oh, this I did not hear about.
For a, quote, fright study that he was conducting.
Wow, so he's related to the cult, and he's doing this stuff on their behalf?
Yeah, he was their doctor.
Their main doctor. Jesus.
So Jennifer Cobalt, the former member of the cult whose leaders were accused of brainwashing and blackmailing women into becoming sex slaves, said that her complaint that Porter may have performed his fright study on as many as 100 people. Now, she said he continued to film my reaction for at least 10 minutes, and I just sat there dry heaving like I was going to puke and crying very hard, adding that Porter began showing her the violent images without warning. She said he failed me not only as a friend but as a medical practitioner I trusted on numerous occasions with my health while I was in New York.
You're not a good doctor.
In September of 2017, it was a letter that she wrote to the state of state office of professional medical conduct. They told, or I'm sorry, this is a letter they wrote her because she had complained.
Yes,
they told her that it would not investigate Porter, adding that the issues that you have described are not medical misconduct. But the OMPC has now accused Porter of moral unfitness, gross negligence, and gross incompetence, among other charges. He is accused of showing human subjects in an actual video of the horrific and brutal murders and dismemberment of four women by machetes and violent film clips, including a male African-American being viciously stomped by a Nazi, a conscious male being forced to eat a portion of his own brain matter, and a graphic gang rape. These are actual videos of these things happening.
Well, this is obviously a deranged, sadistic bastard, but yeah. I think we're just on the outer layers of what this cult is going to yield.
He's also charged with violating state law for improperly conducting studies on obsessive compulsive disorder, Tourette syndrome, and one monitoring the brain waves of those who attended Nexium programs.
And he also said that apparently people had to wait a long time in his waiting room, Preston.
Yeah.
And there weren't a lot of magazines to read.
The state also slapped him for not reporting to health officials that many of the attendees, including children, at a 2016 Nexium event became ill with an infectious illness that produced flu-like symptoms, vomiting, and diarrhea.
Oh, man.
Porter, an internist, resigned from St. Peter's Hospital in Albany last fall and reportedly fled town. So there's just more layers of this.
A diabolical craziness. Doctor, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. All
right, one more and then wrap it up, Case?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Man, I got some good ones here. Let me see if I can get a short one here. All right, yeah, this is not so bad. I don't like to end on really
gory or
nasty ones. A man was seriously hurt during a North Carolina road rage incident on Friday when he left his SUV and waved a gun at a dump truck driver on the road behind him.
Yeah, any Mentos in there?
Well, so the driver ran his dump truck over the man and knocked him out. Knocked him to the ground.
He tried to pull a gun on a dump truck.
On a dump truck.
Yeah.
When the man left his SUV, the dump truck moved forward, striking the SUV and the driver of the SUV. Police took the handgun from the scene. The SUV driver was taken to the hospital. The dump truck driver was uninjured.
Dump truck beats gun, right?
And an investigation is underway. I think so.
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you. In this morning's bizarre file. How much time do we have? Can I do this or should I wait for you to come back?
No, come back.
Okay, I'll come back. Just a little thing I want to mention.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. We'll have a lesson question up next. Your chance to win some stuff from us here on the President Steve Show and more.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks
on 93.3 WMMR.
Today and this week, our lesson question prize is going to be some tickets to see William Shatner. He will be at the Academy of Music on May 17th, and that includes a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and a Q&A with Bill Shatner.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is so good. Yeah, we have to. I have to go to that.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he's in his 80s now.
But
yeah.
He's as sharp as a tack.
He's sharp as a tack. I'm just saying,
yeah.
If you ever wanted to go see him, you should go see
he's
him.
He's going
to
be dead soon.
Well, uh-huh. You know, in his 80s. So, anyhow.
Actually, if you watch the show that he did with Henry Winkler,
yeah.
The reality show where they were touring around, Shatner was very, very candid about, you know, being up there. But it hasn't slowed him down a bit.
No. I mean, I've been in talks about getting him on.
Yeah.
I'm really, really pushing for an in-studio. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No.
I just listened to last week a song of his from his album called Has Been, and
yeah.
It's a song called Common People, and it's so good. It's great. I love that album.
I'd be terrific to get him on.
So the lesson question today to grab those tickets is this. From American Idol, the legend of Cade began in the hills of which country? 215-263-WMMR. From American Idol, the legend of Cade began in the hills of which country? If you were listening, then you ought to know that. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We are going to do the trash while we're waiting for that call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on, Steve?
Well, R. Kelly fighting back at a woman who claims she recorded him while the two were having sex. Kelly says the recording claim is impossible because whatever device she was supposedly using would have shorted out from the urine.
Oh, my God.
Formerly revered newsman Charlie Rose getting hit with sexual harassment lawsuits from three more women who worked with him at CBS. 76-year-old Rose is defending himself in his classic homespun way, explaining he was, quote, just trying to get some gals to tug on my dingle.
Oh, my God.
The dingle. My dingle. And finally, Queen Elizabeth. I don't know if you saw this, Preston, presenting Sir Paul McCartney with the Companion of Honor Award in a special ceremony Friday morning. McCartney said he was humbled by the ceremony and especially enjoyed the potato salad in the bounce house. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, thank you. I'll have more in that music news coming up in a bit. But I do now have a lesson question for someone to get the correct answer. Let's see. From American Idol, the legend of Cade began in the hills of which country? 215-263-WMMR is the number. So give us a buzz and let's see if you can get that correct. I will go... Screw it. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Is it the United Kingdom?
Is it the United Kingdom? It's not what was said.
No,
that's incorrect. Sorry about that. Cannot accept that as an answer. So we'll go to another caller, and that's going to be Jerry. Hi, Jerry. Good morning.
Morning, guys. You rock.
Hey.
Thanks. Can you take the rag off of the phone, please? Scott, no.
Hey, guys,
Jerry.
It's really
I'm
bad.
Sorry. I'll tell you what happened in a minute. Jerry, what's your answer? What?
Scotland.
No.
Yeah. Wait. Preston, I can fix this. There we go.
Thank you. Okay. Let me go next to Chris. Hi, Chris, good morning.
Scotland.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris, what's the answer?
Ireland.
Yeah! That was famous.
Which is why, with United Kingdom, I'm like, well, that's part of...
Not really.
It's in the general area, but it's not part of the...
Ireland's not part of the United Kingdom.
No, Scotland.
No, you're right.
Irish people pissed off, but Northern Ireland is.
Northern Ireland is,
yeah.
All right, so Chris got it right, and I'm going to give him some tickets to see William Shatner at the Academy of Music on May 17th, including a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and a Q&A with Shatner. Tickets and information at KimmelCenter.org. Now, what had happened next was, so Jerry was on the line, and I have name, and then on my screen here, next to it has comments, and so they had asked what the answer was, and right. It had said Scotland, and I knew that was incorrect, and I was asking him for the answer, and then I looked away for a second, and then I glanced back up to say his name again, and they had replaced his name...
With Scotland?
With with Ireland. So his name was Ireland and his answer was Scotland. And it got me confused and I called him Scott because I was thinking of Scotland and he was talking like that.
Scotland. What's the answer? Scotland.
No, it's not Scotland.
It's not?
No. It's not. Go play with your nuts, Dan. All right. We should do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
What the f*** is this? All right, it's a few stories that I would like to run by you, please. We're going to start with, first of all, a band playing the MMRBQ and one that a lot of people are looking forward to, Ghost. They actually played their first official show of the Rats on the Road U.S. tour on Saturday night in Riverside, California. So they're giving an idea of what things might sound like.
Rats.
In addition to the previously released new single, Rats.
Rats.
Which opened the concert, Ghost also played four more songs from their upcoming prequel album.
Are you ready to have some bats bite you on your ankles? They're evil rats.
Rats.
Charlie Brown.
But they opened the concert and they played songs called Faith, Dance Macabre, Miasma, and Pro Memoria. Miasma featured a saxophone solo from a guy named Papa Nilly.
Papa Nilly?
No, Nile, I'm sorry. N-I-H-I-L, I guess.
Papa Nile.
Who is the aged original Papa Emeritus.
Papa Nell.
Papa Nell.
Papa Nell is there.
Take it away, Nell.
Where are y'all going? What?
That's when the crowd gets...
Now you go, go away.
Funk soul, brother.
I'm so ta-ta. I like.
Papa Nell.
Give it up for Nell.
In the darkest realm of the forest lives a woman scored by another woman who had had a profound stroke. Her name is Papa Nell.
Where are y'all gone? What?
I'm sorry. No.
That's all right.
So they're playing the MMR.
They are. With and Papa Nell.
Maybe Papa Nell will appear and we'll get to see.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, she's excited.
We'll get to see her live on stage. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Papa from Nell. The bushes and bramble, from the sticks and the pointed thorns, she rises. Papa Nell!
Where are y'all gone? What?
What are we watching?
Dude, it's performance art. Yeah, I don't know what I'm seeing, but it's very moving. Yeah. Apparently, she's very stupid, but she's like, I don't know. She's like a Papa Smurf or something?
Think they'll have a Papa Umamau?
Papa Umamau.
Godsmack singer Sully Erna.
Go ahead.
Went last Thursday.
I can fix it.
Papa Uma my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
I definitely got it. Yeah. Sully Erna from Godsmack went to Gilbert H. Hood Middle School in Derry, Massachusetts, where he met with 19 eighth graders and one seventh grader from that school and West Running Brook Middle School, who sang as part of a children's choir on the new Godsmack track called Unforgettable.
Well, what do you know?
So he went to meet the kids that did that, so that's cool. The song appears on the band's new LP, When Legends Rise, and Erna turned up to surprise the kids with autographed vinyl copies of the record. Erna told the local newspaper, I'm extremely proud of this record, and the students did phenomenal on it. If it helps one more of them to pursue their dreams and goals in music and to go for it, I hope this experience helps them achieve that. And
children, this is Sully Erna from Godsmack.
They're the future of music and our future in general. So that was nice of them to stop by there. The newly announced Locked and Loaded deluxe box set of Guns N' Roses' classic 1987 debut album Appetite for Destruction will also include B-sides from the Appetite Sessions, 1986 Live, Like a Suicide EP, and three or four songs from the band's 1988 acoustic EP, GNR Lies. But one track from Lies has been left out of the new release. It's called One in a Million, a song that was controversial at the time. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
You're one in a million.
No. You're one in a million.
It's a song that was controversial at the time for lyrics containing racial and homophobic slurs.
Really?
That does do that.
Is it bad? Okay.
Yeah, well, immigrants and Fs. Yeah. It make no sense to me. Okay, I remember.
Yeah, the homosexuals. Yeah, so.
Oh, really?
Axl said at the time that he based the lyrics on his first impressions of Los Angeles when he arrived from a small town in Indiana. Neither the title of Lies nor the live EP are referenced in a press release announcing the box set, which the sessions for Lies only mentioned in passing and the source of another song included in the package. This seems to indicate that One in a Million has been deliberately left out of the Appetite reissue. The deluxe edition for Appetite will arrive on June 29th. 73 songs, 49 tracks that have never been released before. So there's a lot of extra stuff in
this. If you're a fan, this is going to be something amazing for
you. Yeah, it's a big package.
We're looking at it.
We're looking at an unboxed picture of it, and there's a lot in that. So a lot for fans. AC/DC drummer Chris Slade said in a new interview with Duke TV that his lips are sealed about whether or not AC/DC plans to record a new studio album with Axl Rose on vocals. Asked about the group's future recording activities, he said, "My lips are sealed, and if I knew, I couldn't say a word anyway. What I usually say is if I tell you, I'd have to kill you, which perhaps is not in good taste, and I couldn't even start to answer that." He said, "I'm afraid." So I don't know, man. We'll see. I think it would make sense for them to do that.
It seems to be happening, yes.
After posting a snippet of her first original song on Instagram last month and then deleting it, Frances Bean Cobain has posted a new version of the tune online with different lyrics and acoustic guitar added to it. The 25-year-old daughter of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love has also alluded to releasing more music in the future, so we'll see if she continues.
It was good. When we played that clip, it was her just acoustic. It was what she was singing was sort of a tribute to her father.
Yeah, not bad at all. Less than 3 months after Ringo Starr was knighted, a Beatle was back at England's Buckingham Palace over 20 years after being knighted by Queen Elizabeth. On Friday, Her Majesty awarded Paul McCartney the prestigious Order of the Companions of Honor for his services to music. According to the press release, the Order of the Companions of Honor was founded in 1917 and consists of the Queen and a maximum 65 other members. When one member dies, another candidate can be selected. Other recipients of Queen's honors include former English cricketer Claire Connor, who collected a CBE, former alpine skier Sarah Lewis, an OBE award.
What's the name of it?
It is called the Companions of Honor.
Okay. This is the British Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's the one, yes.
Yes. Instead of Groot, they have Shrubbery.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Holocaust survivor Dr. Martin Stern, who has an MBE.
So
a
tremendous honor.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the knighthood would be the biggest honor.
I don't know. The 75-year-old McCartney was joined by wife Nancy Chevelle and issued a statement saying, "I see this as a huge honor for me and my family, and I think of how proud my Liverpool mom and dad would have been to see this." His daughter Stella posted a message on Instagram stating, "Dad, a proud daughter on every level. What you have achieved as a creative soul on this earth has inspired so many millions and touches your baby girl's heart with love and hope. Love is all you need, and you got it from all your family today as you receive this incredible honor. I raise a glass to you."
So. She's a successful designer. Yes.
Yeah. Got her leg blown off by a landmine.
Yes, let me chewed off by a landmine.
As I was reading that story, I kept thinking about how, you know, every woman in Paul's life has had a leg blown off by a landmine.
Right. What are the odds?
I used to think that Heather Mills had her leg blown off because, she's missing a leg.
Yes.
She has one leg.
And she works on behalf of clearing landmines out of areas of Europe where they're still from World War II. Yeah.
And all that. And I just assumed that she had her leg blown off by a landmine. And that's why.
What spurred you to do this? Well, my own leg was blown off by a landmine, and I figured I'd get involved.
So this announcement was just made a little while ago, and it's pretty damn cool. I wasn't sure if this was ever going to happen or not because this guy's had a lot of physical issues over the years. But it is. There's a tour coming to the Wells Fargo Center on Monday, October 8th, and it is the Not Dead Yet live tour of Phil Collins.
Wow!
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Wow.
And tickets will go on sale Monday, the show is Monday, October 8th.
So the very day of the show, the tickets go on sale?
No. It says here that on sale is via Ticketmaster Verified Fan Process. The Verified Fan Public on sale is Monday the 14th.
So this is
next Monday.
This is a Phil Collins solo tour.
At 10 a.m., complete details at WMMR.com. And listen to Pierre this week because he will have tickets to give away. So, yeah.
God, I love Phil Collins.
I would imagine it will be, you know, not just his solo material. He's going to do some Genesis as well. So,
well, I'm a massive Genesis fan. So, this is good.
Yeah, then you're going to have to go to this, man.
There's no way he's playing drums, though, right?
I do not know. Maybe he can still play a song or two. He's not going to do all night. There's no way. And I'm wondering if Chester Thompson will be the guy behind the...
Maybe he'll Def Leppard it up.
The drum kit for
play
him.
Play with his legs. Not.
But he's had nerve problems for a long time. And he's had to give up playing drums. I know he was working on getting back to that, but whether or not he will be able to... I mean, if you're talking about doing a tour, that's a big commitment as far as... you know, if you can't count on whether you can hold up or not, so I wouldn't count on him doing it. But maybe he'll play a song or two.
Yeah, maybe, because in concert with Genesis, Chester Thompson would play. Sure. Yeah, was the guy who'd play, and then he'd get up and do some stuff with him periodically. Mm-hmm. It was always cool to see that. But he's, you know, it's hard to be the main singer and drummer.
Yeah. So once again, Phil Collins. It's called the Not Dead Yet Live Tour at the Wells Fargo Center on Monday, October 8th, and tickets will go on sale a week from today at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster and their Verified Fan Process.
This song is about Mr. Rogers, right?
I don't think so.
Yes, it was. And Mr. Rogers was actually front row while Phil was singing this song. And he didn't know, and he sang it right to him.
Oh, my God. Wow. I have the chills.
Yep.
You learn stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The very sniper who tried to take him out in Vietnam.
Yeah. And then somebody drowned, and yeah.
Mr. Rogers was a sniper. I had heard that was like the
absolutely,
biggest.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's not true, though, right?
How many?
I heard John Denver was a sniper, too.
Yeah, we've talked about these.
Oh, well, yeah. They hunted each other around the earth, John Denver and Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And
they were nemesis?
They were nemesis.
And they wrote that song, Papa Umau Mau, together.
Exactly.
All right.
It all ties together, man. Yeah.
It's also Free Music Monday, and I'll take
the latest from Cade.
Caller number 10, and I will give you the new Breaking Benjamin album. It's called Ember. Wait, don't play Cade while I'm doing a Breaking Benjamin giveaway.
It's disgusting.
So Breaking Benjamin has their new album called Ember, featuring the single Red Cold River, out now via Hollywood Records. And like I said, caller number 10. You get that, 215-263-WMMR. We have one more break to take, and we're doing that very thing. Wait a minute. Did I get the ticket?
What?
Who? On sale wrong?
No, you were right about the fan. The fan club has it a day early, and then to the general public is Tuesday, May 15th.
We're talking about Breaking Benjamin or
no,
Phil Collins?
No, hold on. Let me finish. Phil Collins on sale will be Tuesday, May 15th. Monday, the 14th, is the
fan club stuff, yeah. Club.
All right, now we got it cleared up. All right, we'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
So far, this Monday's been pretty painless.
Yes.
It'll be a little bit of a difficult transition going from the weekend into the work week, but today's been all right.
Your phlegm expulsion has dropped dramatically.
Yeah, I think it's early on. I think it settles overnight, and then I get up, and I got to go through the routine, and there you go.
Fill up a garbage can or two, and then you're good.
It'll take like a week to get all this crap out, but it's on the way. It's on the way. I got Dr. Mike on the case.
So there you go.
Help me out with that.
Finest physician working.
It was nice to hear from him this morning, by the way. We were talking about testicles, and sure enough, he called in. That's what he does. Thank you to, let me see. We got to thank Sally Kalksma and Adam McElwain for coming by this morning. Talking about the big climb in Philly. It's coming up on the 19th, which is the same day as the MM Barbecue. And Nick's nephew and Adam's son, Luke, has a form of leukemia. Mm-hmm. And so they are raising some money for the cause. And it's a good event. And stair climbing is a competitive event. Maybe this is something new for you. It's not a competitive thing per se. It's a charity event.
Yes.
But there are people who take it in a serious manner in that way.
Bring it in that direction.
And Sally's one of them. She's one of the best in the world. So it was really, really cool to have her on this morning. Details at WMMR.com and PrestonSteve.com, by the way, to get on board for that event. We also announced the official opening of the Jersey Shore and some events coming up on the weekend of the 25th, which is Friday. The 25th, it will be 3 live broadcasts. And of course, it starts that morning with us in our annual event at Keenan's Irish Pub in North Wildwood with Coors Light, Pierre Robert, live at Margaritaville in Atlantic City from 10 to 3, and then Jackson at the Inlet on Old in North Wildwood from 3 to 7 with Victory Brewing Company. So if you can hit all 3 of those, man.
Oh, my God, what a day. What a way to kick off Memorial Day weekend.
I might actually hit 2. I may take a little nap in the afternoon.
Little nappy poo.
And then ride my bike and see Jackson.
Ah, cool.
Later on.
Yeah, because you're in Wildwood Crest, right?
That's right. That's
excellent. How far is the inlet from Keenan's?
Like a block.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we been there before for retreats?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't quote me on this, but I'm fairly certain that the inlet is the old Westies.
Okay. But so right around the corner from Keenan's.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you're set, man. We're going to have the whole thing, and you can pop up and see Pierre and hang out for a little bit, take a break from all of the Wildwood craziness, and go over there and have a margarita and a burger.
Chairs where he should be. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I am indeed.
It's going to be good, man. How was your weekend?
Excellent.
Cool.
How about you? You feel better?
I am feeling much better.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I'm a lot better. Thank you for asking.
Okay, no, that's why I made the house call.
Yeah, he did.
Thanks, man.
Came over and did that full shiatsu session.
Yeah.
Well, I had acupuncture. I've never learned it before, but I thought...
yep. How hard can it be?
You know, like safety pins. And so it was, yeah. It was punk rock acupuncture, I call it.
Yeah. So heroin.
Yeah. Well, and Preston was singing, you know, Anarchy in the UK and ready to rock.
He was throwing rune stones at me.
Yeah, the whole deal. Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it worked, man.
Look at me.
Yo-ho.
Yeah, man.
Bless you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Or all those things you're supposed to say or whatever.
Let's do the letter of the day. Get that out of the way. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
S as in Seeger.
All right. You got that first letter. We have a $500 gift card to Steven Singer Jewelers. $500 could get mom a whole bouquet of gold dip roses and Steven's I Love You to the Moon and Back necklace. Show the sweet loves in your life how much they mean to you. For memorable last-minute Mother's Day gifts, you can visit IHateStevenSinger.com, by the way. So what's on the show today then, man?
We've got birthday bucks, and this is the last week.
Yeah.
So we've given away tons of money, tons more chances, even this week, 5 times a day. And the next one is at 11 a.m. And then we'll have the Free Music Monday Breaking Benjamin CD to give away. We've got, as you just mentioned, in music news, with the news that Fabulous Phil is coming back, and October 8th will be the date. We've got a pair of tickets all this week for Phil Collins. We will visit the archives at 1:30, play some Record Company, one of the young bands that came by and did a MM Archive session for us. And they're going to be on the MM Barbecue, and we have some cool conversation with Chris of that band that we will also play. Workforce Blocks. Bob Seger, speaking of Seger, was 73 yesterday. We'll do a Workforce Block. Foo Fighters had a birthday yesterday with Chris Shiflett. And Grateful Dead drummer Bill Kreutzmann has a birthday today. So we've got that in store for us.
Excellent. Hey, you know what? I need to take a moment and say congrats to a member of the WMMR staff, salesperson or account executive, I should say, Steve Simons, great guy.
Yes.
He and his wife, Kate, had their first baby. I don't know if it's her first baby
Well, it's their first baby together, yes.
First baby together. So, congratulations. They had young Natalie Jane over the weekend.
Oh, that's cute.
That's a great cool. name, yeah. isn't it? Natalie Jane. Congratulations to Steve and Kate. That's really cool news. I like to hear that. Nick just pulled up some information that I didn't know. Our buddy Sebastian Latou of the Philadelphia Union is going to retire from Major League Soccer.
Whoa!
And he's doing it tomorrow. He's doing like a one-day contract,
yep.
and they're going to have a press conference. He is such a nice guy, man.
He is a nice guy. How old is he?
I'm not sure. He's probably in his 40s, right?
I don't know if he's that old or not, but he listen to this. He
just looks really old.
Just leathery. Old and leathery.
He's going to retire as the Union's all-time leader in nearly every major offensive category.
Really?
Games, games played, goals, assists, shots, shots on goal, and so on and so on. So they're bringing him back for a day. He's going to sign a contract and then retire as a member of the Union, as it should be.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, so we'll have to reach out to him.
Yeah, please.
See if you can talk to him tomorrow. I got to take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. And it's center, the number 4healing.com. And also brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Call today and start training tomorrow. Call 888-FIX-JETS. Speaking of tomorrow in our program, right now we just have Tattoos Day on the list, but we have a lot of other things as far as giveaways.
Yes.
Another shot at $1,000. As Pierre said, we're on the home stretch here, so don't miss your opportunity. Four more times today. We'll start it off again tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
When you walk out of the house and you find out you brought the remote control to work with you. Remote's going on a ride, dude. And he says, where are the remote? Going to work.
Next message.
Hey, guys. I had a quick question. Do you guys have any more of that Altoid gum left in the gum dispenser out in the hallway that's been there for the last 5 years? If so, could you save me two pieces? I'll be down to pick it up on Tuesday morning. Thank you. More rocks.
Next message.
Hey, I'd just like to give a shout-out to the entitled a**hole who has to use the only stall in the men's room instead of using one of the urinals. At least put the seat up first. Or don't be on your phone. Or aim. You entitled a**hole. Douche!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.